Good morning. I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Ryan Day and the Buckeyes were at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago yesterday, and Coach Day talked about the big season ahead for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, every coach is going to come up here and say that they've had a great summer. I've never seen a coach come up and for Media Day and say, well, we didn't have a very good summer. But we have had a great summer. But what matters is what we're going to do with that. And what Mick Marotti and his staff do during the summer is the backbone of our program. But our players also know all that matters is what we put on the field. And so as we get to work here next week and get on the field for preseason camp, it's an important preseason camp. The season that we have ahead of us is going to be a monster, and we're fired up about that.
And on the diamond, the Guardians beat the Reds 6-1 to win the Ohio Cup. This update is sponsored by Vermeer Heartland. Vermeer Heartland opens in Columbus August 3rd. Get the Vermeer equipment you trust, genuine parts, and expert service. Visit VermeerHeartland.com.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tybus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tybus.
Welcome in. Happy Thursday to you. What's up on Bone? He's Tybus. Good morning, go to hell. Tybus, how are you feeling?
I feel like I got hit by a truck.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I worked out yesterday, and I was doing this workout where I was doing like 6x10. So I did 6x10 on the incline dumbbell bench press.
Okay.
Right, so I was doing like 60s and 70s. Trying to really work myself back into it, so I don't really want to go too crazy on the weight. And then I would superset those, meaning after I got done with the dumbbells, I would go immediately and do pull-ups.
Okay.
And I would do six by 10 pull-ups. And my back and shoulders are on fire today.
Well, isn't that the point?
From doing that.
I mean, I don't know. But I don't
like,
do
the,
this.
The but thing I'm... is, like, if you work out, like, all the time, like, the soreness, you really don't feel sore no more because your body's used to working out all the time. That's why when I say, if I start working out, like, if I do a week of working out and I'm just sore the next week, you got to keep going. Because if you keep going, like, you won't ever be sore again. So the fact that I feel this is worrisome.
See, I always thought it was, like, the soreness was an indication that you were, like, grew
for
like
sure you did,
like,
yes
yeah, okay
but like if you keep like if I did this workout again in like 3 days I wouldn't be feel like this
you don't it, think so
no I, okay. I know I wouldn't
but you said this was going easy relatively speaking or
yeah
you said
like
you
I
were working
this
into
was
it.
A moderate weight this was okay. I knew I could do 6x10 on using 60s and 70s
so six reps.
No.
Six sets of 10. Okay, yeah. Wow. All right. That's, hey, good for you. But see, now you're feeling it.
Yeah. Like, but, it's not as bad where it's like, I'm messed up, but like, man.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
I've had that sometimes after, you know, like, drinking a handful of beers, and then you just, you know, your arms start to get a little tight in the biceps because you've just been curling, those little 12-ounce curls. I've had that happen before. That's what I know. All right.
Lemonade, I can understand. Which, by the way, before I went to bed last night, I had me a tall boy.
Tall boy?
No, tall boy lemonade. Glass, get a tall
boy. How big of a tall boy are we talking?
Well, it was a mug. It was the Blue Jackets mug that they gave us.
Oh, yeah. Celebrating 25 years of ass. I remember that. That was so good.
Don't bring them up.
Oh, no, I got plenty in the chamber for them today. What a dumb franchise. Ryan Day spoke to the media. We'll get to that. Big Ten Media Day. We've got the list coming up at 7 o'clock where we, you know.
You said the shots today?
Well, oh, trust me. They're already ordered. The shots are on their way. She's coming over right now with just a whole platter full of them right now.
It's not even happy hour.
Oh, don't worry. It's happening. The list today is top five fast food items of all time.
Oh, yes.
Joshua Perry's going to join us at 7:30 from Big Ten Media Days. Lots of other stuff to get into.
By the way, when we get to the list, if you don't have a specific item on there from a specific place, I don't even know who you are.
Is it a specific item that I would have had?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. If you don't say this, I don't even know who you are.
Is it a breakfast item?
No.
Oh, then I guess I don't know. Maybe I don't know myself.
Oh, yeah. If this ain't on the list for you, I'll be floored.
Okay. I gotta see. This is going to be interesting to get judged by you on my fast food
ratings. Mm. I'm excited about that.
He is the expert foodie.
He's the fast food. He's the 446 foodie.
I would be shocked.
The 446 foodie is what we should call you. Foodie.
I would be shocked because I think it's a pretty popular item and is at a pretty popular place that Bone respects.
Okay. All right. We're going to find out. We'll see what happens at 7 o'clock. Yesterday, I get the notification, and then I got text about it from you guys and saw that the Blue Jackets have parted ways with longtime broadcaster, friend of the program, Bob McKelligan.
Can't stand it.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I can't stand it.
So what they announced, and the way they phrased it, I don't have the actual phrasing in front of me, but they said something to the effect of, like, opportunity or something like that, where they said, our fans will have the opportunity now to hear the same broadcast from the television on the radio.
It says the Columbus Blue Jackets announced today that beginning with the 2026-27 National Hockey League season, all Blue Jackets games broadcast will be simulcast across television and radio platforms, allowing fans to experience the same live game coverage, whether watching on television or listening on the radio.
Yeah, inconvenient privilege. Thanks for allowing us
the new format, the television broadcast audio feed will be carried on the club's radio network, including flagship station 97.1, The Fan in Columbus.
I'll tell you, when I heard that, I still don't know what happened there. Because there's two facets that this story is to be. And I realize for some of you, you may be saying, hey, you know, Jackets broadcast information, I don't really care. The Jackets are irrelevant. I get it. And I'm sorry that I'm even bringing them up, because quite honestly, they are largely irrelevant to most of our audience a lot of the year.
Okay, but
they're exciting when they're actually good and when they do stuff in free agency or when they like sign a player that we're all interested in. But how often does that happen in the 25 years that we've watched this team? The answer is very little of the time. Maybe 12% of the time, 15% of the time.
It won't be the same, man.
No, it's not going to be the same without Bob.
I actually listened to Bob on the radio.
Well, this is where
if I knew I was out and about and I couldn't see it, and I knew I had to watch it for us, I would just listen to the radio and listen to, and the energy, man, the energy, the passion. Oh man,
there's twofold here. One, let's focus on the guy Bob McKelligan, who's not going to be on the radio waves anymore. So Bob, you know, has been doing this a long time. I think 2009 was when he started to kind of take over for George Matthews, who was the initial radio guy the Jackets had. And if you never heard George Matthews, the way he would call a game, a lot of people loved this. It wasn't personally my taste. George Matthews was on like 1,000 from the drop of the puck to the end of the game. Like, no variance, all energy, always up, always excited. And I'm not trying to disparage that.
You like that?
No, okay. What would happen, Common Man and I used to make fun of this all the time, like how you would be driving around in Columbus and you would just hear, you know, oh, Jackets, and he'd be screaming and he's like, what a goal! And you're like, oh my God, and it sounded amazing. And then he would say, yes, with 3 minutes to go in the third period, the Jackets trail 12-1, and you're like, and you'd instantly be like, well, I feel like I'm getting lied to, right? I feel like I'm getting, like, PR'd. I feel like I'm getting something where you're telling me an untruth. You're trying to spin this that this game is interesting when it's really not.
Wait, so
I don't like that.
So, like,
if it's 12-1, just be like, okay, hey, Jackets, goal! Like, well, all right, they scored, and it's a lot of work to do. Bob McKelligan would do more of that. Like, if the moment called for it, obviously Bob has a great goal call. He can get up there with anybody. He's very energetic. But Bob also, if you're watching crap, would not sugarcoat it and say, this is actually a really good thing. And just because the Jackets are down 5-0 doesn't mean they aren't. No, he would tell you sometimes in games where they were close, he would say, folks, I don't know how the Jackets are in this game because they really haven't done anything right. Like, he was very honest with you. He didn't treat you like an idiot. Like, some broadcasters treat you like a little kid at the doctor, where it's like you got to distract the little baby from the fact they're about to get their shot. And so it's like, ooh, look over here. Ooh, what's this guy doing? Look at my forehead. You know, and you got to do all that stuff because you know pain is coming and you're trying to distract them. That's what some broadcasters do. That's what a lot of people want, apparently, in media these days who run teams. They want cheerleaders. And I've never thought that was a good idea. Bob was not a cheerleader. Bob treated you like you were a human with a brain who watched this team and cared about it and wanted to know that what you were watching was actually good. And that's what they just decided to kick to the curb and say, we don't need that. We'll just pipe in the TV broadcast.
So when you say TV broadcast, is that like Jean-Luc?
No, that's Steve Mears and Jody Shelley.
Yes.
So like, and they're great. And by the way, this is no shade to Steve and Jody. Like, they do a tremendous job. They will do a great job. They have done a great job on TV. Here's my problem. You can't put TV product on the radio, nor should you put radio product on TV. It doesn't work.
Well, the radio people understand that. I have to paint the picture for people that can't see it.
Yeah.
And then TV people was like, well, they can see it.
Right. So like,
so
a TV,
I have to be as descriptive.
There's nothing wrong with, like, I don't know, hearing something like, if you're listening to Steve Mears talk, you know, and he says Fantilli, not a Sillinger, like that's normal, you know, like, and then there's a pause because you're watching it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give the score every 30 seconds because you can see it on the score bug. You don't have to update me on the time of the game because I can see it right there on the screen. So either we're going to have no information on the radio side, or what I hope doesn't happen either for the people who are watching on TV, you now will have those guys trying to make it work for the radio and overstating information that's already available to you. Mm. It never works. I watched it with the crew. They did this many years ago. They tried to do this, and it was no fault of the broadcasters involved. Neil Sika was one of them. He's a great guy, great broadcaster. It's no fault of his.
Shout out to Neil Sika.
Yeah, I love Neil Sika. But he was in a bad spot because you have to, like, either you have to do the TV broadcast for the radio or you have to do the radio broadcast for the TV. It never works. It's one of the dumbest ideas in broadcasting. So, of course, the Blue Jackets are doing it. So that's what we... If there's a dumb idea, this franchise, man, they run to it. Yes! Oh, well, if it's dumb and it saves money, that's really what it comes down to. Those two things. This cheap-ass organization. All right, one of the biggest blowhards in sports had a hot take on Ohio State. You'll hear it next. T-Bone and Tyvus.
Do you feel that? The season is getting closer. Buckeye football comes your way in 37 days. Every game, every season. Proud to be your flagship home for Ohio State football. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Real nice start to the day out there with a lot of sunshine. Just some passing clouds popping up for the afternoon. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 80s. For tomorrow, some high clouds gradually stream in from the west. We'll call it partly to mostly sunny. Just a touch warmer tomorrow, mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan. Both of these men played sports in high school. Only one of them was good at it. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, a few things from the YouTube chat today. I was going off on the Jackets parting ways with longtime broadcaster Bob McKelligott and deciding they're not going to do a radio broadcast of the hockey this year or going forward. They're just going to pipe in the TV sound. And by the way, again, I've said this before, Steve Mears, Jody Shelley do a great job on TV. They shouldn't have to do a radio broadcast. They should have to do a TV broadcast. But Coach Beard in the chat said, do the Blue Jackets deserve two dedicated broadcasts? From how y'all talk about the organization, doesn't sound like they're even worth the resources.
Mm.
That's a problem, isn't it? Like, isn't it a problem that this organization is viewed as being so low rent and minor league that we're now questioning, well, maybe they don't deserve, maybe, right? Like, if that's your angle, that's fine. I wouldn't think the Blue Jackets would feel that way about their organization, but apparently they do. I'll tell you this, the Jackets are delusional in that they think they should be talked about all the time on this radio station. They think they should dominate coverage, anything they do, which, by the way, could you imagine if this summer all we did was say, we got to dedicate ourselves to Jackets coverage?
We got a good...
What would we be talking? They've done nothing. They've done nothing this season except smooth, like, put out fires. They've done nothing of note this offseason.
They dominated this station when the whole Zach Werenski stuff was going on.
Right. They had to put out that fire. They're trying to put out the Kirill Marchenko fire. Like, that's all they've done this offseason.
Not the Kirill, but the Zach one, yeah, they was...
I'm just saying.
I feel like that led the shows...
Yes, but
probably
lead is the Jackets have made the playoffs four straight years. Now this offseason, what do we have to, like, which of these guys who helped get this team to the playoffs all these years can we afford? Like, that discussion's irrelevant. What we're talking about is, like, can we find some guys who can get this team finally over the hump back to the playoffs? Like, that's kind of boring to talk about. But so to Coach's point, like, they probably, I'd think that if you're a professional sports team, you should have a dedicated TV thing and a dedicated radio thing. But if the Jackets don't feel that way, that's alarming that you don't feel like you need to do that. Alex said, I agree that firing Bob was a trash decision. You shouldn't assume TV broadcasts on the radio works, but technically all the fan radio shows are on YouTube and on occasion simulcast on 10TV Plus. Hey, fair point. And I agree with you that that sometimes creates conflicts with what you're listening to versus what you're watching. But I can tell you on this show, by and large, our number one goal is to do a radio show. And if you go look at YouTube, I definitely have not dedicated myself to looking TV ready. Okay, I have a face and a body that has been cultivated for radio, and I'm not changing. Okay,
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Right,
must be nice because here in about 22 minutes, I gotta go do some TV.
No, trust me. There's synergy all around the building with radio and TV and TV and radio. But the reality is, the product is always better when you're focused on one thing. Like, if you're watching us on YouTube, which Coach Beard is, obviously, Alex is, so many of you others are in the YouTube chat, and we appreciate you. We love the interaction on YouTube. But you should know what you're looking at is, I hope, more like a surveillance video of a radio station than an actual television product that we're simulcasting on the radio. Our number one goal is to still make a product that sounds good to people's ears. If it looks good to your eyes, that's fine, too. For the Jackets to go this route and say, oh, yeah, we'll just pipe in, you know, a radio show or a TV show essentially to a radio station,
although I am extremely sad and I hate this decision for Bob because I love Bob.
Bob's a great dude.
I have to see it first. I don't want to judge it first.
Go ahead.
I don't want to judge it. I gotta see it first.
But this is what I'm telling you. It's like after a couple broadcasts, because this is where I say the Jackets are arrogant, because they believe that like the majority of their, clearly they must believe the majority of their audience is watching on TV, which I'm sure that's true. But the answer is the Jackets are not appointment viewing, and they largely haven't been for 25 years. It's not like Ohio State football, where a lot of people with Ohio State football will plan their day around, when is the Buckeye game on? Mm-hmm. I want to watch it. Yeah. But even with the Buckeyes, we get plenty of people who listen to this station because life happens on Saturdays at noon in the fall. If you have kids, you got activities, you have stuff to do. That's what the radio's for, is for people who aren't able to stick by their TV and watch it. We're here for you.
Well, a lot of people say that they cut the broadcast down and listen to Paul Keels.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I'm saying on the TV side with the Blue Jackets, the Blue Jackets have not been appointment viewing for the majority of your audience for the majority of their time, because most of the time this team has not been good. And quite honestly, as much as there are a lot of dedicated Jackets fans, I don't know that there's a lot of people that are dedicating 82, now 84 games of sitting around watching their TV. The radio product is great because if you're driving around, like you said, living your life, doing your thing, oh, the Jackets are on. It keeps you top of mind. Now you're going to give the people who tune in, they're going to hear Sillinger, Fantilli. There we go. They'll do their best, but like, meanwhile, you are watching that, not listening to it. It's such a different product. And the only way to fix that is to make it super annoying on TV, to have them over describe what you're seeing with your own eyes. People go, why does this broadcast suck? Why are they? So I'm very passionate about this, obviously. And it's a bigger point than this that I won't get into. But the bigger point is there are a lot of people in suits who've never done the jobs, who try to, in any business, that come in and ruin things that actually are working and do well. They ruin it because they think they can save a few bucks, or they're smarter than everybody else who's tried it and failed. And I'm sure that's how it'll go with this too. It will be a worse product for you on this radio station because of what they're doing. So
look, and I might be too close to the situation because Bob is the one who hired me to work over there. So I have a lot of respect for Bob, but what I will say about Bob is like what you said, how he is on the air, very direct, very real. Bob's a real one.
Oh, yeah.
Bob didn't kiss any ass over there, and he told it how it is.
And that's what they need.
And that's what I respect about him the most.
They need that over there, because I think there's a lot of people over there who think they're way more important than they are to the average sports fan here. So,
yeah, the only thing he did wrong, like maybe my working there led to me working here, and that's maybe reason for some people to hate Bob. But besides that,
yeah.
Bob's a good guy.
No. We're here. Oh, no, I reached out to Bob yesterday. He was doing the Clippers game, I believe. He was calling that game. And I knew he was working, but I said, hey, just wanted to say I'm sad and frustrated to hear that you're, you know, not going to be, you know, doing this anymore. And I enjoyed our time talking because he was on with us every week last year during the season. And like during the game, he replied and said, hey, I appreciate, you know, appreciate the kind words. Just, you know, nice. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to reply at all. Mm-hmm. But that's just the type of guy he is. And, you know, like I said, he had a call that brought you into the game. It didn't treat you like a simpleton.
Right.
He expected that you might know something about hockey when you listened to his broadcast. He treated you like an adult.
I hate this, Tom, right now. It seems like with ESPN cuts and this cuts. And it's crazy because we know people from both.
Like, yeah. Like, we've seen people get, it's a crappy thing that they do in this business. But that one doesn't make sense to me because and the NHL has taken over their broadcast. I know that's a thing too. And if the NHL consultants came in and said, hey, you should drop your radio broadcast, the Jackets would have every right to say, yeah, thank you, NHL, but we tell you what to do. You know what I mean? Like, the NHL is just a collection of owners. There's the ownership here could have said, no, we're not going to do that. Thank you for the suggestion, but we'll gladly, if it loses money or whatever their issue is, I don't know why they're doing this, but if it's a cost-saving move, that doesn't make any sense to me. You're a professional hockey organization. That's like saying, well, we'll really just have 2/3 of the ice because we've done research and we feel like we're mostly in the other 2/3. We're never in our own scoring end. We're never there. So why don't we just chop the arena down to 2/3? Like, you're a hockey team. You have to have a full ice sheet of ice. You have to have things. You have to have a broadcast. Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. All right, speaking of crazy pills, this guy, you know who Mad Dog Chris Russo is?
Everybody know who that is.
Okay,
sometimes. You don't know.
That's true. That's fair. No, that's fair. That is fair.
Hey, right. So anyway, Chris Russo, who's now, of course, on ESPN and all that stuff, but for years was Mad Dog.
I love when he say stuff and Stephen A. look at him like he crazy.
Well, he's one of the traditionalist guys about college football who I don't think pays a lot of attention normally to college football. He's a New York guy. He had to know all, you know, for years he was doing radio just in New York, and it's baseball, it's football, it's hockey, it's basketball, it's pro sports.
Shaquille O'Neal is the fifth best center of all time. And I looked at him like, excuse me?
Right, he's nuts. Here is Chris Russo on why Ohio State can put a sponsor on their jersey, but Notre Dame should never have done that. It was
a mistake. Notre Dame is doing right now with this patch with SoFi and getting $18 million. Let Ohio State do it. Who cares about Ohio State? Ohio State, nobody looks at Ohio. They're a football factory. We understand Ohio State. They're great, but it's a football factory. All right, that's what Ohio State is. They do things like that. Notre Dame, there's more of an accountability. It's the Fighting Irish. It's Newt Rockne. It's 1934. Again, it's Lou Jack. It's Lou Holtz. It's everybody.
Sure. Great.
As he's saying this, there's just B-roll of black and white highlights of Notre Dame. Like, yeah, this is Notre Dame, baby.
Face masks involved.
Yeah.
No technicolor at all, like on any of the film that they're showing. It's all black and white. It's people in trench coats in the stands and like your little derby hats.
You know, the sick thing about Notre Dame is that in this millennial, they only have been to the championship twice and lost both times.
Who'd they lose to one of those years?
The Buckeyes.
Oh, that's right.
And then the other one was Alabama.
You know the last time Notre Dame beat the Buckeyes, Tyvus?
It was the footage
he was showing. It was 1934.
I know didn't lose to him. That's sad.
The tradition of Notre Dame is such a...
That's where people live at. With
I know, but look, Chris Russo's a million years old and he lives. I'm old and I'm like,
they haven't won a national championship since 1988. Two-thirds of the show wasn't even born yet.
Oh, but they got, look, Manti Te'o got them to one before we realized he had a fake girlfriend. Remember that? And then they went the year that the Buckeyes played him, not Tyvus's year. I was pointing at Tyvus, but I'm saying just a couple years ago, Buckeyes won that game. You guys
what
played
the final score today. Did we beat them like bad? I don't think it was.
Oh, right? That was the... Oh, wait, no, I'm confusing that in the Texas game. I was going to say that was the one where they returned the touchdown, but that was not. That was Texas. Notre Dame, I feel like they won by like 10 or 14.
It was 34-23.
Okay.
Yeah, 11 sounded right.
All right, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, so that's... Good job, Chris Russo. Way to continually remind people how old you are, I guess. Ryan Day spoke to the media yesterday. You will hear from him in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvis on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
We got some slowdowns starting to form on the south side of Columbus. Really 270. People getting off towards that Alum Creek Drive exit. So a heads up there. Just a little bit more congested than usual right now. But still drive times are looking good around the metro this morning, especially between 670 to 270. If you're taking 71 north, that's an 8-minute commute. 9 minutes, though, if you're taking 315. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvis is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvis will put anything in his mouth on a dare. All right, almost anything. No, I stand by my previous statement. This is T-Bone and Tyvis.
I had forgotten until you reminded me, Tyvis, that Christopher Mad Dog Russo
hilarious
said that Shaq was the fifth best center of all time.
Have you lost your
mind? The best is with him and Stephen A. are arguing about, which again, I hate these argument shows. Like, we don't do them.
I like giving it to Will. I like
giving it to Will. When he's like, Will Chamberlain? And no, then he's like, no, I'm not giving it to Will. Stephen's like, no. First of all, I don't know if you remember, there was a guy named Tree Legs Millsap who played for the Milwaukee Bucks in 1854. Better than Shaq. I'm not giving it to you. No.
Oh, man.
That's just that whole thing.
He know how to get a response out of people. That's what it is.
And then when he was on with France, that's when he was like, oh, yeah, the Tree Legs Malone was a very good guy. I remember playing, but yeah, he was good. It was just, that was their show.
You know, I've never
First of all, Mike, I want to tell you right now, the 74 Yankees were the best Yankees ever. Because, they never won anything, but they were good.
Because Mike is the reason why I've never watched a new Superman. Because he's
Mike Francesa?
Yeah, he said he was terrible.
Why would you ever listen to Mike Francesa's opinion on anything?
He said it was the worst film he's ever watched. And when he said that, it scared me because I've never watched it because he said that.
Have you ever heard Mike Francesa, just so you know who you're taking opinions from, have you ever heard Mike Francesa do like college basketball analysis?
No.
Like, years ago, he used to be on CBS as a like analyst of college basketball because he was with it like 40 years ago. But in the last decade plus, whenever he's been on, here's what he does. He looks at the thing and goes, UNLV, pretty good. Playing Corn Jerkers? I don't know who they are. Okay. UNLV. Darkanian, chewing on the towel. Next. And it's like, he's just remembering like a fact about UNLV from like 30 years ago. And that's Larry Johnson. Good player.
The way he talked about the new super, he said it was pure torture. I 2 hours that. Of pain.
His everything is pure torture for that guy. He's old and just doesn't care anymore.
I haven't watched it since. I still ain't seen it.
His rant about the movie is longer than the movie itself.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I prefer when Christopher Reeve. Okay. Christopher Reeve couldn't walk. Okay. They put him on the green screen. You know what I mean? That's what I want to see. I like a Superman who flies on a green screen. It's clearly, you know, not done well. I like that. I like bad special effects. So soon, okay? I like bad special effects. I don't know what to tell you.
I owe it to the Superman movie to watch it.
No, going back to Russo, though, being a born New Yorker, I felt like obligated to like him. When he said that Bob Cousy was light years better than Kyrie Irving.
No, he said Steph Curry. He said Steph Curry was the fifth best point guard, and they went crazy.
And it's like Bob Cousy in the 50s was considered the, quote, Houdini of the hardwood. He was doing basic no looks and bounce pass entries into the post and hitting floaters, and people were just so impressed with it in the 50s. The 100th best point guard in the league is doing that stuff now.
Bob Cousy, great chest passer. Best chest passer I've ever seen. He dribbled with both hands, Mike. Both hands. Left and right. The man was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Second best defender that year was Plumber Johnson. Plumber Johnson. They called him that. This is true. This is true, Mike. This is true. Because he was a plumber. That's what they called him. He actually did that to make money because nobody paid anybody. Stupid idiots. This guy lasts for 50 years doing it. He has his own channel on Sirius. He's on ESPN.
He's still on ESPN.
That's what we need to do, Tyvus. We just need to go on there and just say, like, well, you were doing that earlier today. You were saying that Larry Bird and the Celtics were just a bunch of Jags.
Oh, man.
And I almost went Chris Russo on your left. Larry Bird!
It was Larry and the boys.
That's not your news. There's five Hall of Famers, DJ, Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale.
Jags.
What are you talking about?
They are Jags.
Bill Walton just coming off the bench?
Yeah, right. Just casually. Just casually. Injured Bill Walton just waltzing out there when he can? Sure. Okay. Anyway. What were we talking about? Yeah, Ryan Day. Something you actually care about instead of this drivel. Ryan Day was talking about a bunch of things yesterday. Here's him talking about this quarterback we have, Ohio State, Julian Sayin.
Julian Sayin, and now year three with us, year two as a starter, has a different look in his eye. I said before, you know, he had great success last year. He won his first start ever home against Texas in a big, you know, top five matchup, won all rivalry game in the sideways snow, but then came up short at the end of the year. We all did, but when you look in his eye now, you see a different person. You see a different body. He's worked hard. He's gotten stronger. He's found his voice even more, and he's got a great look in his eye, and I think he's poised for a great season.
That's good. I mean, from what I hear, I think Julian Sayin talked about this. He has Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sayin working out together, kind of as like a pairing. Mickey Marotti does. So
good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a... To me, I still am worried about the run game this year. I think Julian and JJ going to do their thing when they're called upon. I think there's bigger fish to fry. But I like that. I like the fact that he got a different look in his eyes. I told you when we talked about it either a week or two ago, where I said I just want him to get upset. I want to see him yell at one of his teammates to lock in. That's the part of the fieriness in him. I want to see that because I don't know if it's there or not. He's so laid back and so cool, calm, and collected. I want to see him just like, because I feel like he's got the clout and the cachet. Like if somebody not getting their job done, to go yell at him, hey, I need you to lock in and do your job. Like I need that. I want that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
It shows passion. It shows that you care. And I like saying that he doesn't because I know he does. But like to let it show on game day, like people will sense like, oh, let me lock in. Like he ain't never like this. So let me lock in because this is serious. It's important.
Yeah. Well, then you know what? There's going to be so many big games this year that like if you are saving that for, well, maybe I don't do that until it's an important moment. There's going to be a bunch of those this year. You know what I mean? Like there's no easing into this when you have Texas second week on the road. You've got all these other great Indiana, Oregon, tough games, man. This is a very loaded schedule. Ryan Day talked about this schedule.
Yeah, every coach is going to come up here and say that they've had a great summer. I've never seen a coach come up and for media day and say, well, we didn't have a very good summer. But we have had a great summer. But what matters is what we're going to do with that. And what Mick Marotti and his staff do during the summer is the backbone of our program. But our players also know all that matters is what we put on the field. And so as we get to work here next week and get on the field for preseason camp, it's an important preseason camp. The season that we have ahead of us is going to be a monster, and we're fired up about that.
I think that was a shot at the Big 12. Monster. Monster season. Big 12. Big 12? No, Big 10.
You need
that's
stop.
What a monster.
He said monster.
Monster.
$20 million for your whole conference? For your jersey patch? How about 17 just for us?
How about just for us? Just on our jersey. Here is Ryan Day talking about this guy named Jeremiah Smith, who I hear is good.
Jeremiah, as many of you know, is somebody who in 2 years has already made an amazing impact on the game of college football. What he's meant to the game on the field, but also off the field, is tremendous. And you know, he has a chance to leave a legacy behind, and he knows that. He's got a whole generation of young players that look up to him and who he is. He's a household name. And he's had a great offseason. He's taken the step into a leadership role, and it's great to watch him find his voice.
Sounds like everyone's finding their voice. Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, well, this is
gonna,
good. You need that.
You're going to need that because, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Who is the vocal leader on the team? Because, you know, Jeremiah is naturally quiet, and Julian is very laid back. So, like, who is the guy who yells and scream? And we said, well, Brandon Ennis, we know that.
Yeah.
But it can't be just him. It's got to be somebody more outside of him that can do it as well. And if your two best players are speaking, people tend to lean forward a little bit more.
Yep. You need that. Browns got underway from Berea, and the quarterback drama has already started. We will talk about that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
If you're heading up towards New Albany, we are still noticing that right shoulder closed off after a disabled vehicle. 161 eastbound yet again is impacted just passing Hamilton Road. At least some better news. We have roadside assistance that just arrived on scene not too long ago. And traveling 315, especially southbound over by Ackerman Road, that's looking really easy this morning. Nice and green on our Time Saver traffic map. Once you're passing through places like Upper Arlington. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.com.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we're at the Ohio State Golf Club to preview the upcoming seasons with men's coach Jay Mosley and women's coach Lisa Strom.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
One of these guys still believes he can play in the NFL. It's T-Bone. He says it's because of his low center of gravity. He's dumb. This is Bone and Tyvus.
The list is coming up top of the hour, 7 o'clock. We will give you our top 5 fast food items of all time. Tyvus just got some mail. Apparently delivered. What's in the envelope? What do you have?
Well, let me see.
Man, that's his personal information.
Yeah.
Oh, this is nice. It's like a bunch of collages of me.
Oh.
Look at that.
That is a really nice photo of you. It's got a whole bunch of different images of when you were playing.
And it then, does, and oh, then it got me current day.
I see something on there, though. It's got a little blank spot. It's got a blank space, Taylor Swift for you.
Oh.
You know why?
That,
they want you to send that back with an autograph on it. That's what that is.
Well, they gave me an envelope.
They gave you an SASE.
Look at that.
A self-addressed stamped envelope.
I like that.
Man, that's awesome.
I got to give it for you. I got to. Oh, I think it's.
Look at that. Are you going to sign it on the air? Verify.
Well, it's silver. Does that matter?
No, I don't. I think I don't. You know what? I don't know. You know what? You do what
you want.
Does
that matter?
I don't know. I didn't send it to you. Dylan did. This is how Dylan's funding, like, the difference between what he thinks he should be paid and what he's actually paid. That's how he's funding.
I gotta read it.
No, I don't know if you do.
Between
you gotta read it, like, in your head. I thought
between
you
my about. Meals getting paid for and me figuring out ways to con Tyvus to sign things. That's how I make ends meet.
His name is James.
All right, James Nelson. Shout well, James, guess James what? Nelson. He's working on it right now. By the way, Clint tweeted us. Tweeted me anyway, and you as well, Tyvus. He said, I wish more sports could do what Major League Baseball does, where you can choose to have the radio call played over televised games in their app. Perfect for Guardians games. Yeah, so Major League Baseball started doing that. I think it's fantastic because you can just decide to have the home radio broadcasters piped in over the TV broadcasters if you want that experience. But if you don't, you can listen to the TV broadcast. Some people prefer one or the other. And I think that's a great idea. They also have that on Apple TV for MLS games. You can listen to the home broadcast, radio broadcast, whatever team is the home team, they can just pipe that in, and it's synced up. I know that they will never do this for college football, but could you imagine?
Paul Keels and Jim.
You could have Paul and Jim.
They would never do that.
No, of course not.
Over Gus and Joel Klatt?
But they should, because it would be the most popular feature. Everyone would download whatever stupid app they want you to download to get that feature.
Yeah.
Everyone would do it.
I would have much rather heard Jim Lachey on color commentary for the spring game than whatever Yahoo was doing it on Big Ten Network.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I agree with that 100%. That guy sucked. He was terrible.
It was like it was his first time doing it.
Yeah, it was like
something.
His first time calling a game. What a joke.
Sounded like a
member of the media, though. Wait, a member of the media.
Are you saying you didn't see how that guy had his passion back?
Yeah, I did hear he told all the people that he worked with on his regular job that he got passion back from doing a thing that he never or rarely does. So that was also very, all of his friends felt very good about that when he came back and said that to them.
He found his passion. I respect it.
Well, good news. If the NHL ever does come out with that feature where you can pay to get the radio broadcast put on your TV, it'll just be the same broadcast with the Blue Jackets. They just have one broadcast now. Good job, everybody. Way to go. All right. Browns got underway from Berea, and their quarterback drama is, of course, already going. So here's what I saw, Tyvus. I wasn't at practice, obviously. Neither were you, no, right?
I'll be there Saturday.
Okay, you'll get a firsthand look at it. But what I saw from all the clips and all the things that were put out there on social media was that Shedeur Sanders was okay to good, threw some nice balls, had a couple deep balls that went pretty, you know, good connection with Casey Concepcion.
Yeah, nice little double move by Casey.
Yeah, yeah. And he caught it. That's good.
Yeah, that's a great sign.
It's a plus.
Yep.
But then I saw that Deshaun Watson threw not one, but two picks on successive attempts.
Yeah, back-to-back plays. Yep.
I also saw that Zach Jackson, who covers the Browns, we have had on the show here before, posted that it was one of, he posted on Twitter that it was one of the worst practices he'd ever seen for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. So that's,
And that I saw that yesterday. He said, well, the good news is it was the first practice. So right. It can get better.
I will say this. I don't really put a lot of stock into day one. It's a lot of adrenaline rushing through people's veins. You tend to be a little antsy. As you go through it, you start to settle down and you start to lock in. So I'm not going to put a lot of stock in day one. Obviously, you don't want to see somebody throw two back-to-back picks. And they doing that thing where they're working on two fields, which I get it because you want to get as many reps as possible. But I hate it for like a spectator. If you like watching practice, it's like, how am I going to watch both of them at the same time? Like if they run, they going at the same time, how am I going to see both quarterbacks at the same time? So I hate it from that standpoint. But they said, I think the pairing was Deshaun and Dylan and Shedeur and Talen was on the other field, something like that.
Yeah.
And I believe the rookie receivers was with Shedeur yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that Shedeur stayed after practice to work with Talen Green.
Well, like, you know, he ain't getting the reps. And yeah. Shedeur being in that spot last year, he kind of knows what he's going through. So he's
what a douchebag. Just trying to stay after so everybody can see him on camera. Because then all the other guys leave and it's just Shedeur. Focuses on him. Selfish teammate, Tyvus.
You know, it's
called sarcasm anyway for the people up there who like love Shedeur when this gets clipped out and they're like, what? And then I got to hear, no, I'm joking, obviously.
We didn't need to be at Browns practice to know what went down because the quarterback tracker from ESPN Cleveland on Twitter is back.
Oh, God.
And Shedeur Sanders went 16 for 19.
It's going to be like
and Shedeur Sanders and Deshaun Watson went 12 for 22 with two picks. That's all we need to know.
That quarterback tracker is going to be like that until they get a guy.
That quarterback tracker is so stupid.
It is.
Just because, I mean, like, I know. The thing is, I mean, I know why they do it up there because it's like, it gets clicked on, it gets talked about, it gets retweeted, but it's also like.
It had 500,000 engagements yesterday.
Right.
But that's it.
Tyvus. But I asked you about this last year. I remember you talking about how, like, completion percentages in training camp are largely irrelevant, right?
Yeah, you don't know what they're working on. For example, yesterday I seen this. So Mary Kay put this clip out and she was like, Deshaun Watson goes deep and he throws this bomb to like, I think it's Jerry Jeudy maybe, right? And I'm looking at it and it's essentially like a Hail Mary drill. Okay, they did that. Does that count as a completion? Because the defense clearly isn't going for the ball. Are we counting that as a Deshaun Watson completion and touchdown? Because if that's the case, that's never going to happen. So to me, I don't really like that quarterback tracker thing because you don't have the context that go with it. Okay, so Shedeur Sanders was 16 for 19. How many of it was checkdowns? How many of it did you just swing it to the running back? Like, what is, like, I don't know. I don't know what the play was. Was these all pushed down the field? Was it the defense supposed to go for it in this drill? Like if you don't know these things. So like that to me is why I don't really pay attention to it.
Well, there was a pass that I saw Shedeur had where it was down the sideline and I forget who it might've been, Denzel Boston that went up and got it. But like, if you watch the route, it's down the sideline. Denzel Boston's beaten whoever was guarding him. And then he stops and jumps and has to come back to the football.
Yeah, and the guy didn't jump for it.
Right.
That's the same Hail Mary drill. That's why
when I looked at that, my initial thought was, ooh, that looks like that was underthrown for a guy who was running down the field. But I know Shedeur has a big enough arm to throw it as far as he wants to. So I didn't understand what was going on there. And then I figured, well, maybe they were, I don't know, maybe they were working on that exact type of situation if you have to come back. It's not necessarily always about the quarterback. It might be about the receiver.
I'm looking at the drill like they... The defense is jogging. Like, this is an offensive drill.
Right. This is something that is different than if you are playing actual, like, all right, it's 11 versus 11.
Right.
And we're really trying to go at
this. I'm pretty sure this corner would have tried to turn around and jump for it.
Yeah. So, all right. Day one of Browns camp, already drama. Most of it's pointless. Film at 11.
I've already decided for that. I've already decided they hired the wrong dude at head coach.
Oh, why is that?
Todd Monken comes out there. He's got a ball cap on with sunglasses on it, a brown Browns hoodie tucked in only in the front into his orange shorts, along with his play sheet that is tucked in into his shorts. And I've decided I'm out on Todd Monken.
I never have liked let me tuck the play sheet into my junk and then talk to the media. I've always thought that's the weirdest look.
They always do that. They either put it in the front or the back.
Yeah.
Why do you need your play sheet to talk to the media?
Why is it in there?
You got notes on there?
Just set it down.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Notes to talk to the media?
No, he probably getting done with the media and going inside. Like,
by the way, if you missed what Todd Monken said, here's a little clip from him.
I like being stroked.
Thank you, Todd.
Oh, my God.
The list is coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
If you're heading up towards New Albany, we are still noticing that right shoulder closed off after a disabled vehicle. 161 eastbound yet again is impacted just passing Hamilton Road. At least some better news. We have roadside assistance that just arrived on scene not too long ago. And traveling 315, especially southbound over by Ackerman Road, that's looking really easy this morning. Nice and green on our time saver traffic map. Once you're passing through places like Upper Arlington. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Ryan Day and the Buckeyes spoke at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago yesterday. Here's Coach Day on Jeremiah Smith and his impact on the program.
No, he has a chance to leave a legacy behind, and he knows that. He's got a whole generation of young players that look up to him and who he is. He's a household name, and he's had a great offseason. He's taken the step into a leadership role, and it's great to watch him find his voice.
On the diamond, the Guardians beat the Reds 6-1 to clinch the season series 4-2 against their in-state rival and win the Ohio Cup. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty. He'll buy it today for cash. Call him at 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
In terms of the Waffle House menu, Tyvus covered and smothered his opponents. Meanwhile, T-Bone is a chunk of hash who's often covered in gravy. I'm not sure what that means either. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right. Normally, we give you a bunch of like, hey, got other stuff to talk about. Hey, this coming up, that's coming up. We don't have time for that right now. We got stuff to do.
The best, the worst, and sometimes even the dumbest. It's all here on The List.
Sponsored by Baths R Us. Go to BathsRUs.com to schedule your free estimate. Baths R Us, where dreams soak in.
All right. Today on The List, we're going old school. Because sometimes on The List, we all just kind of throw out ideas. Today, solid top five. For each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Top five fast food items of all time. And I tell you, I wrestled with this last night. I wrestled with this morning. I was still in the break wrestling with this, trying to make sure I got my list correct. I don't even know if I got it settled. But
mine hit me just 15 seconds ago, and I was going to kick myself if I didn't have this in the list.
I got to ask you guys a question about your list real quick. Okay. Did you exclude breakfast items?
I did.
I did too.
Okay.
I went no breakfast on mine.
Okay.
Like I've said, I mean, I love some breakfast items. We do get them here.
What breakfast item do you?
AM Crunch Wrap.
AM Crunch Wrap is the one. Dylan. Although, Tyvus, you got me onto that Chick-fil-A, that wrap is great. It's great. I've had it before. Like you were the first one that told me to get that, and I have to acknowledge that is a very good thing, but it did make my top five. Now, part of how I did my top five, I'm just going to say, was I thought about if I was constructing, every one of these is kind of like a different food item. Like I didn't put three hamburgers on here. You know what I mean? Which some people do. That's fine. If you did your list that way, that's fine.
No,
I'm telling you how I did mine.
I don't got it like that.
I have mains, sides, beverages. I have the whole thing. All right, so my number five, greatest fast food item of all time. For me, number five, the Wendy's Frosty. Chocolate, of course, is the preferred way to go if you're getting vanilla Frosties.
I had that Frosty.
You're a psychopath?
8 years.
Should be investigated by the FBI. What are you doing?
You don't like the vanilla one?
Why would you? It's chocolate Frosty. That's what it is.
Don't do this.
No, what do you mean don't do this? That's the best.
Don't do this. I respect you on that one, but the vanilla one was elite.
Is that right?
Yeah, the whites are good.
Okay.
Okay, Joshua.
Okay.
The vanilla one was
Joshua,
elite.
This is a Joshua Perry food take here.
I got to ride with Joshua. He was right. The vanilla Frosty was elite. It is not even, it's not even up for discussion. No,
it's still there. You could go get it. That's how terrible it is because you don't even go get it.
I had a Frosty period in 8 years. Fine. Number five for me, Taco Bell. Nacho fries.
Old nacho fries. Do love a nacho fry.
Yeah.
Didn't have them on my list, but very good.
Shame on you.
Well, I got some fries on here for you.
Shame on you.
I got some fries on here. Just wait. You're going to find out. I'm not spoiling it, Tyvus.
Rally. If it ain't rallies, it's wrong.
Oh, well, it's about to be wrong.
My number five is a little bit of a hot take. I prefer the McDonald's quarter pounder over the Big Mac. So give me QPC.
I agree with you.
At number five.
I want to say.
That ain't no high take because I agree with you.
Listen.
I ain't had a Big Mac in like 20 years.
We are all in agreeance because my number four is I had written down before we got into this segment, McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese.
Hell yeah.
So, dude, I'm right there with you. Throw the Big Mac out as far as I'm concerned. If you got rid of that, I'm good. Don't get rid of that quarter pounder. Don't get rid of that double quarter pounder because truth be told. That's where I'm going.
And guess let's get crazy. Double quarter pounder with cheese and bacon is what I get when I go to McDonald's.
Well, it's funny. Absolutely. It's interesting that you two said this because it leads me to my number four. And it's going to make you upset, but it shouldn't.
Okay.
Because it's better. The Bacon King from Burger King.
Oh, I'm not fighting that.
Bacon King is good.
That is essentially a double quarter pounder with cheese with bacon.
Oh, you know what?
That's fair.
I think you shouldn't be allowed to put it on your list, though, because you can't eat the whole thing.
Yeah, that is
That is also, yes, that is also that a fair point,
true.
Dylan. Point to you for that. We're going to do, what was the show that they used to have on ESPN where they awarded points? I would award 1,000 points to you.
Around the horn.
Around the horn. Can we have points? I want to award you 1,000 points for that. Good job. What's your number four, Dylan?
My number four is the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich. I know you guys say that it used to be better.
Yeah,
it's still good to me.
It's still the best chicken sandwich in the game to me. It lost it.
You know, I have to come clean here. I do love some chicken sandwiches. Yeah. I don't have a chicken sandwich on my list.
Oh, your list is
no, it's not. It's not. It's not.
Flawed.
It's good.
Actually, the next three things is all chicken related.
Okay. My number three, Taco Bell's cheesy gordita crunch.
That is pretty good.
That thing with the soft shell, the cheese melted in, the hard shell, and then a full on, you get the Baja sauce on it and the lettuce. It'll make you have explosive diarrhea.
It's like my favorite thing from Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's mine, so that's my number three.
But I would take what I'm about to say over this.
Okay.
And you probably have never experienced it. And it's a shame because if you went up 71, you get it all the time. The hot and spicy McChicken sandwich from McDonald's.
Mm-mm-mm.
My goodness.
Do you know how angry I am that I can't put it on my list? Because I've never had it, Tyvus.
I know. I'm so pissed off. Ohio. I don't know if they still got it in Cleveland.
But you've had it up in Cleveland.
When I went up to do the Cleveland show, it was like the number one thing I would stop and
this
get outside
of. This is the McChicken, right? They have McChicken a spicy version of the McChicken.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I don't know why we don't have that here. It makes no sense to me. You're right. If I had it, maybe I could have put it on here, but I don't. It's not available here. I haven't had it. Sorry. Dylan, go ahead.
My number three, Tyvus alluded to it earlier. The best French fries in the game, Rally's French fries.
Bang.
Okay.
Bang.
That's fine. That's good.
McDonald's close second.
I don't have either of those. I do have fries for my number two.
Oh, well, then it's, don't say Arby's curly fries.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm going to say. I'm exactly going right
overrated.
There.
Overrated.
I don't care what you think.
It's overrated.
They're not overrated. They're curly.
They're overrated.
They're curly.
Those fries is mid.
Do you know what they give you at Arby's if you ask them? You could say, hi, I'd like Arby's curly fries and then a side of cheese to dip it in. And they will give you a cup of hot, gooey cheese.
Really?
And you should dip the curly fry into the cheese and your pants explode off your body.
Really?
And you have a Nirvana experience is
got,
what you have.
They got cups of cheese?
Yes, they have cups of cheese. And you should do
Maybe
it.
I should go this week.
They serve beef and cheddars. Where do you think they get the cheese from? They just take some of that cheddar from the beef and cheddar and they put it in a cup and they give it to you.
I do that at Culver's.
Oh, that's good too. That's a pro move too. I'm just telling you, the curly fries with the cheese, that's my number two. Arby's, thank you.
Number two for me. And it could be number one, but number one, y'all know what my number one is because I got an addiction. But number two. The second greatest fast food ever, and they need to bring it back, that Double Down from KFC. Boy.
I don't feel like, hang on. I don't think we should put ghost items on here.
What you mean?
That's not available.
It was available.
It's not now.
It's a thing. You said best fast food items of all time. Did you not ask me that?
Well, we did, but I thought we were sticking. Okay, that's fair. It's bad on my part. I didn't stipulate current because I mean... Sister's Chicken would have been on here if I had that, but that's gone. You don't even know what it is, right? Because it's gone.
Well, a Double Down is something that comes back. It comes and goes. So
Sister's Chicken was Wendy's. They started a chicken joint to compete with like KFC.
When was this?
Back in the '80s. Here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know it's before you were alive, but anyway. Dylan, number two.
Number two for me might be just because I'm obsessed with bacon, and it is the Wendy's Baconator. You get fresh patties of hamburger meat along with six pieces of bacon. Can't beat it, except for one thing.
Oh, I got my number one, I'm going to tell you, it's probably going to piss you guys off. Not even a food item.
Oh.
It's a drink.
Don't say Baja Blast.
Oh, you know it's what I'm talking about. It's a Baja Blast. Yes, the Baja Blast. It's what America was founded on. Stuff like that. Yeah. Baja Blast. Does it taste like Baja? No. Does it taste like Blast? Absolutely not. But we're drinking it. It was made just for Taco Bell. It only goes with their food. If you have it with a cheeseburger, it doesn't taste right.
Mm.
Thank you, Taco Bell, for bringing us Baja Blast.
Have you tried having it with a cheeseburger?
No, and I never will. No, I refuse. I refuse to let that happen. It goes with Taco Bell food. I'm never going to change.
Baja Blast.
I will drink that. Yeah. I love Baja Blast.
Number one for me. And I want to hear this. We got a voicemail about it, too.
Yeah, we could play that next break.
Okay. The sweet and spicy wings from Popeyes. I mean, if you haven't had it, don't. Trust me. Don't do it. It's going to call you. You know how in the 80s it was a crack epidemic and everybody couldn't shake it? That's how them wings, I'm telling you, don't really? Do it. Don't do it. Just stay away because they are that good. They be calling me. I feel like Chris Rock on New Jack City. They just keep calling me, man. calling me.
No, like Tyler said, I was walking around in Walmart. I got an email. It was a voicemail. Someone said something about sweet and spicy wings at Popeyes. I immediately left Walmart, got in my car, went to Popeyes, and got some sweet and spicy wings at Popeyes.
So hang on. So Tyvus mentioned it on the air yesterday. Someone listening called our voicemail line.
Yes. No.
614-460-8010. No. He's saying you got a voicemail that you saw in your email.
He talking about this weekend. A couple days ago.
No, we got another one.
We got one yesterday.
Yesterday afternoon, we got one.
And you got this voicemail. You saw the notification on your email, 614-460-8010, if you want to leave us a voicemail. And then that motivated you to go get these wings.
Yep. Left the cart. Didn't buy the items. Left the store.
Same.
Went to Popeyes.
The power of this radio show to influence the people on this radio show is tremendous.
I've always been aware. Me and Tyvus have been in cahoots about the sweet and spicy wings.
Had them before?
Oh, yeah.
I got to go get them. I got to do
it. Don't do it,
Bob. Dylan, what's your number one? Is that it?
Yep. That's it.
Oh, wow. What was the one you thought I should have? Did I not have it?
Nacho fries from Taco Bell.
Yeah, they're fine. But you know what makes them good? You know what makes them good, though?
The cheese.
They give you the cheese.
That's what I'm telling you.
And Arby's does that, too. But they're curly, so they hold more cheese.
Man, go on with that.
I love a short and curly from Arby's. That's what I call it. Go right and say, give me a short and curly. And they go, get out of here. That's disgusting. Joshua Perry will join us in a few moments. But coming up next, it was a bad start to the preseason for the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll tell you why next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good Thursday morning to you. Right now, we are heading up towards Delaware County, where we are seeing our first crash of the morning. It's happening just outside of Powell near the Columbus Zoo, affecting that State Route 257 southbound area at East Glick Road. That right shoulder is currently blocked out there for you. Also seeing a crash way up north outside of Sunbury and really by East Liberty. 71 southbound, right before State Route 61. That left lane is blocked out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Vision.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Real nice start to the day out there with a lot of sunshine. Just some passing clouds popping up for the afternoon. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 80s. For tomorrow, some high clouds gradually stream in from the west. We'll call it partly to mostly sunny. Just a touch warmer tomorrow, mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. No, I've never heard of the band on T-Bone's shirt either. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
You can jump in the YouTube chat. Just go to YouTube, 971 The Fan. T-Bone and Tyvus is where you go. And you could hop in there and talk about, among other things, best fast food items of all time. That's our list topic today. Let's see. Z-Dog in the chat said, Bone, don't forget about Golden Bird Chicken. I don't know what that is.
Me neither.
Sorry, I don't know. Eddie says, "Big Baja Blast feels weird, but it's pretty much the only one of these fast food exclusive sodas that got popular, so I respect it." Yeah, well, I live on it, so I don't know what to tell you. That's like Brondo in Idiocracy. That's what I drink now. Just exclusively, I put that on plants. I put it on everything.
You get, when you get the Baja Blast,
Blast has what plants crave.
Do you get frozen?
No.
You just get the drink.
Actually, you know what I get? I get the zero. Less calories.
It's keeping me.
Look at how light and fit it's keeping me right here.
Don't start this.
They have a zero. Every I get the zero.
Actually, when I go to, I've never really gotten the Baja Blast. I usually get out. I get the freeze, but I get the red one. What is it? Strawberry or something like that?
I don't even know.
Cherry freeze?
I don't get a freeze. I get a drink.
I get a freeze.
Because I'm not like five. I get an actual beverage. I don't get the little freezes for the kids.
My daughter does get a freeze every chance.
That's what I'm telling you. Then I take it home. I pour some vodka in it. I make myself a Baja Blasted.
Yes. What I do. Yeah, every time we go to McDonald's, Gianna's like, frozen Fanta. I don't care what I'm eating, but frozen Fanta. Yeah. That's what I'm drinking.
That's what Abby wants. Same thing. She wants the blue Fanta frozen every single time.
Rusty points out in the chat, Tyvus stops at Chipotle 3 times a week and they didn't even get an honorable mention. Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah, no, because I didn't want to go there.
That's not fast food,
right? Someone mentioned Culver's. I don't know if I would consider that fast food, though. They do have a drive-through.
Culver's. If they have a speaker and a drive-through, I would call that a fast food. Okay.
I have more respect for it than to consider it fast food.
So recently, I'm upset with Culver's.
Why?
So I went to Culver's probably twice in the last 2 weeks. Every time I've gone, it's been the longest wait I've ever had in my life.
That's how Culver's is.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so this last time,
which was Sunday, I got it Sunday. Not only did I have to wait a long time, they messed my order up. Line was so long that I couldn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
Like, it was packed on the inside and the drive.
See, I hate that.
So it was like,
dude, they built.
They forgot one of my kids' orders. So, like, we ordered 2 kids' meals. They gave me one.
That's no good.
Yeah.
Well, see, I have had with Culver's, the one they built in Marysville, they had one, and then they just decided, screw that. They left that one open, and then they built a new one. And then as soon as that one was done, they closed the first one, opened up the second one, because they were right next to each other. The new one, they built that parking lot like 3 times bigger than the old parking lot. And it's because now that's what you do is you go order then you pull forward and you sit there for like 15 minutes while you wait for them to bring your food out.
Yeah.
But when they, at least when they bring it to you, it's usually right. But that would be, yeah, if you wait all that time and you get the wrong order and then you got to go back in, no, that's no good. But at least they're like Chick-fil-A now, where they're all acknowledging that, like, hey, we know there's going to be massive lines for this, so we're putting multiple places for people to like order, and then we know you're going to have to park and wait. And,
yeah,
it's all, it's very interesting how the fast food places are doing those designs.
Do we want to play this Popeye's?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Charles in Columbus. I'm normally the lunch bitch at work, so I go out and pick up lunch, whatever everybody wants, just because it gets me out of the office. And after this morning's show, I told him, no debate, we're getting Popeye's today. And Tyvus, you're right. Those sweet and spicy wings are the best. People who said no to getting Popeye's today, I saw them coming back into the office after I'd already ran out. Smelling our words. They slap. They're great. Love them. Fire record day at the Contribution Hall of Popeye's today for them sweet and, sweet and spicy wings.
There you go.
There it is.
Converting someone else. Look at that.
There it is.
If only they paid you to do this. What a shocking idea that would be. So the Bengals, they had a fight yesterday in practice. Ja'Marr Chase got into it with a couple of his teammates. It was DJ Turner and Jalen Davis, members of the defense. So, yeah, I don't know. Is that a terrible thing on day one of practice, Tyvus, to get into a fight? Or does that show that the team's fired up and ready to go?
I mean, usually the fights don't happen on day one. Like,
they're not even in pads.
Right. Usually it's, you know, after you've been around this guy for 10 days, you ain't seen your girl or your lover in 10 days, and testosterone builds up and you kind of get upset. That's usually when it happens. Usually it's second week of training camp. To see it on day one, basically what it seemed like to me is, if you fighting day one, there is some guy that you feel like is doing the most. You doing too much. Mm. Like, we all just trying to get back into the swing of things. And you out here trying to do too much. You going too hard. You got chill. Like, that's if you get into a fight, that's probably why.
Who do you think was doing that more? Do you think that was Ja'Marr Chase going too hard and DJ Turner and Jalen Davis?
No.
Or do you think it's, yeah, that's what I would guess too. Yeah,
Ja'Marr Chase is probably like, listen, bro, this is year, what's 5, 6 for me. Like, I know what I'm going to be ready for. So.
Well, Ja'Marr Chase, if you didn't see the video, grabbed Turner's helmet.
And tossed it
off and threw it way over there, which I mean, if you're going to go, you might as well just make it theatrical, have fun with it. But also the worst news, I think, bigger picture, is that Ja'Marr Stewart carted off the field with a knee injury for the Bengals. So
that was nasty.
Yeah. I didn't know I was watching a video of a knee injury, and then it just all of a sudden they zoomed in on him. Like, God. Like,
I didn't see it. My wife was like, ew. She was like, did you see that dude leg? Oh yeah, he's done. And I was like, no, I seen Dylan had text us about it, but I didn't see the video. She sent me that video and I seen it. I said, yeah, we'll see him next year. you're not.
That did not look.
You are not coming back this year.
Yeah. I didn't see if there's any update yet, because I'm sure they obviously took him back and did all the scans.
They should try to get Jadeveon Clowney. Since the Browns is trying to do it, they should offer him a little bit more cash because they need a pass rush.
Yeah. It looks like, I'm not a doctor, but it definitely looked like it bent the wrong way. I don't know if that's hyperextension or worse, but
if they want a pass rusher, they shouldn't get Jadeveon Clowney. He's just a glorified run stopper.
Is he considered a bus?
I would say. He was supposed to be God's gift to earth.
I know.
Based off of one play in a bowl game.
You know what? He's not a bust, and it's not even because of what he did in the NFL. It's because he took that Michigan guy's helmet off, like smacking him so hard that he knocked his helmet into the stratosphere. That was Jadeveon Clowney, right?
When he hit
South Carolina?
South Carolina hit, it was the greatest play ever.
It was like an Outback Bowl or something.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, just based on that, success. Put him, actually, even not, it didn't happen in pro football, put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
If he makes that same hit and the dude's helmet stays on his head, he's not the number one overall pick.
No, I agree with you on that. Then, do you remember the context of that play? Because right before that, there was a play on the sideline where Michigan was like at least a couple inches short of the first down, and it happened right in front of South Carolina's bench, and they measured, and the sticks come out, and you can see the ball is here, and the stick has gone past the ball. There's chain links between the ball and the stick, and the referee's just like, first down, And I believe it was Spurrier that was still there because he's like losing his mind. They're losing their mind. So they call it first down. And the very next play, ball don't lie.
Yeah.
Helmet popped off. Ball pops out.
He
justice was served.
The guy knocked his helmet off and recovered the fumble.
Love that. That is, I mean, that's
ridiculous.
One of my favorite. That and the Appalachian State kid running back in the Michigan game. That's those are my two favorite plays that have ever happened in any Michigan game, not involving Ohio State. 2 minutes away, we will switch gears, talk a little bit of college football, go figure, with Joshua Perry, Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. We will check in with him next. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
As expected, we are still continuing to follow some slowdowns happening over by Canal Winchester. 33 in that westbound direction at Gender Road, still down to 32 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds. But folks, hang on. Once you're passing that area, looks a whole lot better, especially by that 270 and 33 interchange. And hey, for our friends in Madison County, an easy commute 70 eastbound, only a 12-minute commute between 42 to 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Outcome. T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. The Buckeyes, the Big Ten, and the rest of college football. We tackle it all in the Breakdown with Joshua Perry.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
Now, we usually do the Breakdown on Mondays. We did do it this past Monday, but Joshua Perry is out at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Yesterday, a bunch of Buckeyes spoke, among others. Joshua joins us now. JP, after hearing all the talk from Ryan Day and Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, etc., do you feel now the expectations are raised for Ohio State, given what you heard yesterday?
Well, first off, let me start by saying I really love you guys because I was out till like almost 1 o'clock and here we are.
Okay? Oh, really?
So, yeah, this is the commitment to my boys right here. This is the commitment to the gig. Because I'm raggedy right now.
I'll tell you. I just want to say, forget my question. What did you do last night? Where did you go? What was happening? What happened there? Then we'll get to Buckeye talk.
Nothing really crazy happened. We had a team dinner. So we were supposed to do this on Monday. And everybody's flights were screwed up. A lot of my colleagues were coming in from the East Coast. And so there were storms that were in Chicago. And so that threw off flights, and those storms kept going to the east. And so, like, for example, I was supposed to fly out Monday afternoon. I didn't fly out until Tuesday morning. And so there were some people on the East Coast that couldn't get out because they had flooding, and their airports were all messed up. So they finally got here, some on Tuesday, some yesterday, got here for the first time. And so we did our team dinner last night. It ended up being a 3-hour dinner. So we were at this restaurant from 7:30 until 10:30, which was insane. Like, I looked at my phone and I was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize it was 3 hours. And then of course it was like, are we going to go somewhere and get a nightcap? And it's like, yeah, let's do that. And that ended up being another 2.5 hours of everybody catching up and fellowshipping. So, my evening ended up dragging on a lot longer than I thought it would, and that's how we got here.
Well, we appreciate you being on the show today, that's for sure.
Well, I appreciate you guys calling me. To answer your question.
No, you don't lie. Don't lie.
I love it, guys. To answer your question, though, I actually sat down with Ryan Day, and I did an interview of him. I talked to Julian as well in a one-on-one setting. And Coach Day mentioned this idea of, like, I am impressing on these guys that this is about legacy. Like, that's our mantra right now, is leave a legacy. And he's like, how do you leave a legacy as a player? You perform really well. But he's like, you don't have a legacy at a place like Ohio State if you don't win a ton of games. And so I think their expectations are what they are every year, regardless of the schedule, regardless of Texas early in the year and having to play Indiana and going to USC and playing Iowa and playing Oregon and playing Michigan. They want to leave a legacy. So expectations are high. They know exactly where they need to continue to get better. I think they like the direction the offensive line is going. I think they know the running back room is going to have to perform. They understand what they have to replace on defense, but I think they like the structure there. think they like the personnel. I think they like the whole staff on that side of the ball. So expectations are exactly where they have always been.
Was there anything that you took away from UCLA, Bob Chesney? Obviously, this is his first year in the Big Ten. Was there any takeaways from him? Were you excited about him? Do you think he's going to do well at UCLA? What was your feeling of him?
Yeah, I think he's an impressive guy. You talk to some coaches and they don't necessarily wow you from a standpoint of, you know, their communication skill and their energy level and just like your ability to buy into what they're selling. Now, that doesn't mean that a guy is going to be a great coach or won't be a great coach if he's not great at that. But impressive right away when you meet him. He was pretty open about their process and how they're building. I know people are doing the Cignetti comps, obviously, following very similar steps and bringing a bunch of players over from JMU. I don't think he necessarily sees it that way. I think he knows what he wants in a program. But the thing that does stand out that both of them have is experience being head coaches. And I think it's really valuable, and that's why he's ready for this job. Nico Iamaliava came back to UCLA, and I heard him speak, and I think both of those guys really like each other. They really trust one another. Nico is trying to rewrite the narrative about how people talk about him. And I said this after last year's media day. I like him as a person. He was very honest about his journey and everything that happened at Tennessee. And I think he's self-aware. And I think he dislikes that people think he's kind of a villain in this thing. But Chesney talked about his development. He talked about wanting to be better. They're a really interesting team for me. I don't know how much better they're actually going to be this year, but I do think they're going to be better. It's because they have a veteran quarterback who feels like he has a lot to prove. But Bob Chesney coming in is a guy who, like, he's done the job before, and he knows what he's up against, and I think he's got a great plan for his program.
Joshua Perry joining us, the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Day three of the Big Ten Media Day continues on today. I believe Michigan, among other programs, scheduled to have their media availability. What's been the talk? What's been the number one, like, non-on-the-field type of thing that you've heard? Is it the Save College Sports Act? Is it 2014 playoff? Like, what's been the, I don't know what the right term is, scuttlebutt around the Big Ten Media Days, Joshua? What have you been hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you mentioned Michigan being there today. Like, I do think there are a lot of people who have talked about, like, oh, weird that whole thing has been, like, the amount of success that they have had in multiple sports, despite it kind of being a dumpster fire. And so you got Kyle Whittingham, who is a very uninteresting type of coach. He's a very good coach, but he's mature and an adult, and that was very purposeful. And the type of personality that they were going for. I want to hear just his perspective on being the guy who has to walk in there and, like, had nothing to do with all this stuff. But they're inheriting some, you know, he's inheriting some issues he's got to fix and a quarterback he needs to get right. To your point about the Save College Sports Act, I caught up with Tony Petitti, and I'm like, do you get a break? And he's like, no. I've been to Washington. I can't remember the exact number of times. They said in the last 40 months, like, he's been there over 20 times. And I'm like, you might as well just buy real estate there. It's pretty insane. And I'm like, did you ever imagine that this was going to be your job when you took it? He said, hell no. But he's like, I actually enjoy this. It's very different. He's like, when I was working at Major League Baseball, you know, everybody basically won because, like, all the teams are your team. And so it's like, it's cool. He's like, being here, you know, you're flexing your muscles against other conferences and you're battling for supremacy in a lot of ways and watching the last few years and our teams really rising to the top. Like, he's like, I take a lot of pride in that. So he's a busy man. I know a lot of people aren't necessarily in love with him. I will tell you, whether you think his approach is right or wrong, he's an intelligent person who works extremely hard. Now, make of that what you will. He thinks he's doing what's best for the conference. I tend to disagree with the postseason format, but I don't like any of the formats that we're going to get. But he's grinding, and it's a weird job right now. Like, he's listening to athletic directors and coaches bitch and moan, and then he's going to D.C. to hang out with politicians. Like, I don't think anybody thought that's what the job was going to be, you know, if you would ask somebody maybe 10 years ago.
Joshua, I want to ask you about Shaylen McClain. You know, when you look around the Big Ten and you see all these other safeties, and it just seems like they get a lot of hype. But Shaylen McClain is a guy that's been pretty consistent, been a pretty good player on this defense. Do you think by the end of this season, he can be looked at as the best safety in the Big Ten?
I think. Now, I will say, like, there are some really good players in the secondary throughout the conference. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a battle. But listening to him talk and listening to Coach Day talk, like, I think part of the expectation is that he's going to have to take that big step. Like, replacing Caleb is no small task for this defense. And so there are a lot of guys who are maybe going to have to punch above their weight a little bit earlier than people anticipate. It's like, once again, it's a unique setup for this team, because I think that you want to be playing your best ball by the end of the year, but can't be, you know, young, and you can't be unfinished early because of how many good teams that they play and when they play them, like playing Texas early in the year. So he'll be a guy to look out for when it comes to that. Like, you would love for him to be one of the top guys by the end of the year, but you also need him to be very productive and very confident early on in the year too, just because of the way the schedule sets up.
JP, thank you for getting up early. I know you had a long night last night. I hope there's some coffee nearby. I know you're a fan of the iced coffees like I am, so hopefully you get
this
a couple of those.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go downstairs. There is a great gym in the basement of this hotel. I'm going to work out. That's going to give me the energy. Then I'm going to go get a big, fat-ass coffee, just a black coffee, and I'm going to drink that, and then I'll be good. Because once I'm done with my day, I can sleep in the Uber, I can sleep on the plane, I can sleep in the car back to the house, and I can sleep when I get home. I'll do all the sleeping when it's time to sleep. We're getting the day started off the right way.
There you go.
Guys being dudes, man. Look at you.
Get you fired up.
Just the guy being a dude.
Right there. All right. We'll talk soon, Joshua. Thanks again.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
There you go. Joshua Perry on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Blue Jackets and or the NHL announced a really dumb decision yesterday. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
The right shoulder is now closed after a crash by South Linden right before you're hitting downtown Columbus. Once again, 71 in that southbound direction at 17th Avenue. So if you're heading out towards the fair right now, especially from that north side, this could impact you. We're looking at about 31 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds. An 11-minute delay already for your Thursday. Maybe take 23, 315, or even Cleveland Avenue to head downtown. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan
chat.
Bishop and Friends.
The mall conversation that we just kind of stumbled into there is like the greatest example of get off my lawn. It was just better.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. When Tyvus looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Ohio State fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here. Join us August 6th through the 8th at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State's football training camp presented by Safe Light and Bob's Discount Furniture. Watch practice live, get autographs, take pictures with select players, and experience the start of a new season up close. Tickets are limited and going fast. They're $48 for general admission or upgrade to the VIP for shaded seating, refreshments, and more. Secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time out there. We'll be out there Thursday and Friday of next week. So, I mean, I forget when the doors open. I think they usually open later in the show when we're there. But if you're coming out to that, come say hi, obviously. But, yeah, we'll be out there broadcasting live. We're not sure who we're going to get yet, but we'll get some guests on, hopefully see which coaching staff members want to, you know, hop on with us, but we'll get to talk to them when we're out there next week. So it should be a good time. And yeah, the season's starting. That's where we're at right now. Getting ready to go. So I saw this yesterday. The news bothered me greatly about Bob McKelligut no longer being a part of the Blue Jackets broadcast and Blue Jackets deciding essentially to pipe in the TV broadcast to the radio product, which it never works and sounds bad. Do we have a voicemail about this, Dylan? Do we have someone that wanted to jump on and talk about that?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's hear it.
Hey, T-Bone and Tavis, this is Harlan from South Carolina. I just wanted to say that I think what the Blue Jackets did to Bob McElliott is an absolute travesty. He has worked there 17 years, and they just decide, okay, we're going to run the TV broadcast over the radio feed, which also, I can imagine, makes life not easy for anybody running that broadcast on the radio side. But I just think it's awful. I think Bob is a absolute great broadcaster, and I'm going to miss him. He was my favorite voice to listen to for the Jackets, hands down.
Yeah, it's too bad. Thank you for the call, Harlan. That's just, I don't understand why, one, from what I saw in the reporting, I don't know if this is accurate. So if it's wrong, they can correct me on it. But the reporting I saw was that he found out maybe like 90 minutes before the announcement was made. Which, number one, amateur hour, Bush League stuff there. Two, you're getting rid of a guy who has, you know, I think he's done a great job being on the air, all that stuff. Bob is a great broadcaster. But it's also the point that you're telling your audience essentially, yeah, don't listen on the radio, basically, because we don't care about the radio.
That's pretty much. Yeah.
And that's just, you don't understand who you are, Blue Jackets. You are not appointment viewing in this town. People do not plan their lives around your now 84 games that you have. Because the NHL expanded from 82 to 84.
Nationwide is always packed.
No, I know. Well, yeah, with who? A lot of people from zip codes that reside in whatever town of whatever team is playing there that night. Or a lot of people who are fans of the... Why is it that half the time when the other team scores, it sounds just like when the Jackets score, except there's no cannon, there's no horn. Like, that's not a testament to you building this fan base. That's a testament to you cashing checks. You're able to take ticket money because lots of people are... glad to travel to Columbus to come in and watch a team like the Bruins that they can't get tickets for in Boston, but then come out here and watch them, and that's almost cheaper than trying to get actual tickets there. So they'll do that, or they just live here or around here. It's close enough because they have massive fan bases. The Jackets have to realize you're not appointment viewing, so a lot of people don't sit around the TV going, ooh, I got to watch all 84. What they do is they live their lives, and they flip on the radio occasionally to hear what you're doing. And you had a guy in Bob McElligott who actually... I thought pretty accurately told the story. Now, and this is no shot at anybody on TV. Steve Mears, Jody Shelley do a great job on TV. They should be allowed to do a TV broadcast. This is going to sound bad, folks, because they're going to be doing it for the TV, and they should.
I do wonder how, you know, Jody feels about it, how they feel about the fact that they got to switch up their approach maybe a little bit, or maybe they told them, no, just do your thing. Maybe. Well, I wonder what that conversation was like.
It's either going to be they're going to do the TV broadcast and it's going to suck on the radio, or they're going to try to compensate for the radio audience who now doesn't have a dedicated radio broadcast. And then that all... Have you listened to Paul Keel's call a basketball game? Paul is amazing at everything he does, right?
But oh, yes.
If you've never heard Paul Keel's call a basketball game on our radio station, listen to that and then go flip on ESPN and listen to their college basketball broadcast. Paul is sitting there going, you know, he's breaking down Mobley now on the left wing. Now that's over that. Like, it's nonstop action. Paul cannot stop talking because that's how you paint the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the college basketball broadcast on ESPN and it's like, oh, Dick Vitale's here, you know, zooming in from wherever he's hanging out. Let's chat with him. Oh, hey, here's a random celebrity. Let's talk with them. Hey, did you see the new Odyssey came out? Like, they don't even talk about the game because the game's on. You can watch it. They do a completely different broadcast on TV than you have to do on radio. Same thing with hockey. It's night and day difference. So you're either going to make the TV audience annoyed by the way they have to change their broadcast, or you're just going to ignore the radio audience. And the only reason to do this is because you're cheap. It's not because you think you're offering the best product for your fans. So, once again, the Jackets signify to their fans, we don't care about you. We care about our bottom line being as robust as possible. And I think that's sad. So, whatever, man.
It is, I mean.
The slow decline of modern society. I don't know what it is.
Maybe.
It sucks.
Maybe the Blue Jackets are so good on the ice this year that it's not going to matter. Fans would just be excited because the Jackets are good.
That'd be nice. I hope so.
How's the offseason been? That could save it all.
They signed Fantilli yet? I saw Macklin Celebrini got his deal done.
I saw that too.
What are we waiting for? Carlson's done. Celebrini's done. Bedard's done.
Yeah.
Fantilli's right there. You know the numbers now. Get it done. It's a joke. It's the
You worried about it not getting done?
I am. No. Okay. They'll get it done. Okay. And I'm sure it'll work out. And it's just, this organization has not, what have they told us in 25 years? What have they showed us that they actually care about the fans? If anything, this 25-year celebration they did reminded us of how awful this franchise has been when they're bringing back luminaries from the team where you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. I remember when we thought, well, we'll certainly have players that'll be more memorable than that. And then it's like, no, not really. A lot of them.
I don't want to hear it. They swept the Lightning 7 years ago, okay?
Dude.
All right?
Swept them.
That happened. Okay?
Their high point are most good franchises like mediocrity. You know what I mean? Like
a first round win,
a first round series, and then an exit. That is like the high point of Jackets. That is peak Jackets.
But what?
If you were the Bruins,
don't go up 71 and talk about the Browns. Then
well, that's a favorable comparison, right? By the way, the Browns have a dedicated radio broadcast. Just want to point that out. I know it's different because they don't.
Hold on now. War line now. We can't cut the Browns radio network.
Yeah, that might affect somebody. That's how I feel for Bob today. Bob and Kelly did not deserve that. That is BS. Baker's like, Baker runs the board when you do that. So he's like, yes, please.
Yeah, no, they can't cut that out.
I wish Bob at least would have known this was coming and had gotten to say a proper goodbye on the air.
Well, yeah, that would have been things like classy organizations would have done is made this decision well before the end of the season, so he could have done that if he wanted to.
We should bring him on the show and say,
I plan. Guess what? I say Mondays. What time do we have him on? Was it 7:20? Yeah. Let's have him on. Let's Mondays with Bob McElligan.
still.
Oh, I think that'd be a great segment. I'd love to hear from Bob every Monday. This team's, hey, it's been 18 games in a row that they've just kind of been muddling around. Yeah, that'll be fun. What a stupid organization. All right, Jeremiah Smith made a shocking announcement yesterday. Details in not in 2 minutes. Wrong time. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Ryan Day, Jeremiah Smith, Julian Sain, and Jalen McClain spoke at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago yesterday. Here's Jeremiah Smith on if the tough 2026 game schedule affects preparation.
Affect preparation? No, it don't affect preparation. We still got to prepare each and every week. Like, it's just a regular game, but we know it's a very good opponent that we're playing probably every other week and, this schedule. So, I mean, we got bangers every week, so we got to be prepared. So, yeah.
On the diamond, the Guardians defeated the Reds 6-1 to clinch the season series 4-2 against their in-state rival and win the Ohio Cup. This update is sponsored by United Dairy Farmers. Peach ice cream is back at UDF. Right now, get two large cartons of UDF peach ice cream for just $10. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
If it's 4:30 in the morning and you see a ginger version of Dom DeLuise speeding down 33, don't panic. It's just T-Bone.
We are driving. We are driving.
We like driving. We like driving.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
We are eating.
We are eating.
614-460-8010 is the voicemail number. Number of you have reached out. Jackets getting rid of a longtime radio voice, Bob McElligan, which, of course, we had him on the show all last year. I think we should have him on this year, too. If he wants to come on, he's always welcome. Put it that way. Do we have any more? Do we get another voicemail about the Jackets moving on from Bob?
We did, but it was not safe for air.
Oh, well, okay, yes. Then we'll leave that for now.
Yes.
I could
edit it, but I don't want to encourage that in the future. Like, please right. Don't curse on the voicemail. We can't air it.
Well, unless you bleep everything out, which, I mean, but yeah, it's hard to do that when we're all on the air. But yeah, anyway, point being, yeah, that's...
I don't want to encourage.
A lot of frustration.
A.K.A. he don't want to do extra work.
That sounds about right. So Jeremiah Smith, he was speaking yesterday at Big Ten Media Day. First of all, I like that we had Ryan Day talked, Julian Sain talked, Jeremiah Smith
talked, like, I know in the past, Jeremiah Smith, I wouldn't say he's been quiet. He just lets his play do the talking for him.
Yes.
Right? Julian Sain has had the, oh, man, he's so cool. He's laid back. Seeing these guys step up and have more of a leadership role, I think that's important.
Yeah. Right? I know that's something.
What this team has to do.
That's something that they've been working on, especially with JJ, since for 2 years. I mean, I remember when I did the spring game when I was on the sideline.
Yes.
So that was 2 years ago, not this year, last year's spring game. And they were like, when I was talking to them, they was like, yeah, I want you to go talk to JJ. Because we're trying to get him to be more open and more vocal. So please do interviews with him and talk with him.
Okay.
So I made it my mission, which the Big Ten wanted to talk to him anyways, but I made it my mission to talk to him and just joke with him and get him open up. And you could tell that if you go have a conversation with him now, you see him doing more stuff, you know, where he's doing more talking. You see him doing more interviews, more social media, stuff like that. So he's really been working on that part of his life. And it's good to see him maximize it here at Media Day.
Yeah, I think it's a very good thing that that's occurring. This is a funny interaction he had where he broke some news, folks. I don't know if you were aware of this, but this is his third year, so he's technically eligible for the NFL draft. And he reflected on the idea that this might be his last year at Ohio State.
Kind of sad a little bit, I should say. Kind of sad, but I'm going to give it everything I got.
So, what is it? What is it?
Yeah, you know my stuff. I know, but I think it's time.
The reporters reminded him, you could come back if it's so sad for you to leave Ohio State. You could come back. You have more eligibility. He said, nah, I think it's time for me to move on. So
not just one more year, but two now.
Right. Oh, yeah, because 5 for 5. Arby's. Why didn't that get sponsored by Arby's? Which, by the way, I saw somebody bring this up. What are we calling the people who, because, you know, we used to say, like, oh, he's a redshirt senior.
Fifth year senior.
Yeah, that just seems, because you're a senior, and now we're going to have fifth.
Yeah, I saw senior. Fifth year senior. Fifth year super senior.
Yeah, I just feel like fifth year senior is kind of basic. Couldn't we come up? I mean, everything else is freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Can't we come up with another word? Where'd all those come from?
Senior, senior.
pizza.
Senior citizen. Go get a job.
Sure. I don't know. Extra senior.
GTFO.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he won't have to worry about that because he's not going to be here past his junior year. But Jeremiah Smith also was talking about how his dream school was not Ohio State.
I mean, growing up, my dream school was Alabama. When Nick Saban was there, they wasn't recruiting me, though. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I always wanted to go to Bama growing up. Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I always dreamed about going to Alabama because a lot of guys at that time from South Florida was going to Bama and having success, like Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, guys like that. Then I got the offer. I think I committed to Ohio State too, and that's why they started. They thought it was no chance. So, yeah.
Wow. You imagine hearing that if you're a Bama fan?
Oh, they kick it, Nation.
Oh, I wanted to go there, but they never. Wait a minute. Stopped calling me.
Was Saban there when he got?
Yeah, 3 years ago would have been.
Because him and Julian Sain are in the same class, aren't they?
Yeah, like as far as, well, yeah, because Julian Sain, like, signed up and got there in December.
Yeah.
And then Saban announced he was retiring.
Here anyway.
No, well, yeah, that's true. Maybe, but the point that's being made.
With them.
He's saying when Saban was there, he wanted to go there. So, like, how long were they recruiting anybody of that stature? They're recruiting you from, like, I don't know, fourth grade, whatever. Like, I'm just saying,
they do that.
The entire time he's been in the process of getting recruited, it was all Nick Saban and that recruiting machine.
What happened to the baby Grump?
And he said, he's still around.
The little tight end that committed to, like, six different colleges.
You know what? I just saw something with him. There was a local restaurant here in town. They are like,
what they do.
It was like a Middle Eastern food place. Like, I don't remember exactly which type of cuisine, but this, I saw that they were doing like an Instagram video, and there was this kind of like douchey looking teenager on it. And I'm like, who is this kid that they have on this thing? And then I realized it was baby Gronk, like eating the food. They apparently paid him to come over and
Madden Miguel.
All right. Let him live. How old is this dude? Cause he's been like
seventh grader.
Do we think there's any chance he's any good as an actual football player? The baby Gronk stuff?
No.
Probably not.
No.
Anyway. I feel like
I'm just saying, like, that's what he's turned into is, like, let's go get paid while I can because everybody wants me to come over and endorse my product.
I can't think of a time that we've heard of a middle schooler and then they actually pan out in college football.
That's
like, remember Jimmy Clausen?
Oh, I do. Yeah, he looks like an ostrich. That guy had a weird face.
I was told about Jimmy Clausen when he was in like seventh grade, and then he went to Notre Dame, and what'd he do there?
Nothing. Oh, I trust me. You guys aren't old enough to remember like the
fourth or fifth round pick to the he went to the Panthers. He got number two. Cam Newton got drafted. Cam Newton wanted to get number two, and he wanted to pay him for it. And Jimmy Clausen told him to give me $1 million. And Cam Newton said, nah, I'm going to just wear number one.
That's a smart call.
He said, since you want to do that, I'm going to be so good that you're not even going to be thought of anymore.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks of Jimmy Clausen no more because Cam Newton was that good.
You know what? If I was Jimmy Clausen, I would have asked for $1 million too because no team was going to give me $1 million. That was his only shot.
You're right.
He also was drafted on the old CBA.
Well, fair enough. Maybe he made
Cam
more money than we
think.
Cam
Newton was the first of the new CBA.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of quarterbacks, here's Julian saying he talked about a little strategy that Mickey Marotti had over there at Ohio State where they had him and Jeremiah Smith paired up together for workouts.
He's a professional in the way he trains, and it's been a lot of fun that Coach Mick has kind of had us together, lifting together, and you know, to be able to see the way he works and the way he trains and how hard he goes, it's pretty cool.
Everyone who has seen Julian Sain this offseason says, like, he's definitely added some bulk to his frame, like muscle. Like he's trying to be a little bit more sturdy back there, withstand some of the hits he might have to take.
No, because he's planning on running this year.
And that too.
He better get down, but it might be a time where you know we need that extra yard. He got to drop the shoulder one time.
What do you think happens with when Arthur Smith looks at what he's got there? Do you think that's kind of the design? Like, do you think he's going to want to? Obviously, he likes to run the football, but given that
they run like a design quarterback run?
Yeah,
no.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
He ain't. Who you think he is? Justin Fields?
Not even a little read option.
No.
I'm talking about in short yardage.
No.
Urban used to love that.
No.
Where he had, you know, you have that advantage when you have a guy who can run the football just straight up the middle. You don't think they're doing that with him? Like,
I don't.
It's second and two from the goal. Second and goal.
Get 2 yard line.
Get
Tavian in there.
Why? Why is it like we always have to bring in another guy for like goal line situation? Why can't Julian just pop in there?
By the way,
what is Julian's best ability?
Throwing the football.
Okay.
But he's a quarterback.
He's not a place kicker.
We'll
put that in harm's way.
I'm just saying he's not a place kicker. He's a football player.
Get somebody else in there.
By the way, I feel the need to defend myself. So Digital put me in a bad situation again. Thank you guys upstairs.
What'd they do?
They clipped me on Sunday.
Yes.
Basically, so me and Reimer were talking about how Chris Carter said that he compares to Justin Fields and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, the Pat Mahomes, we talked about on the air on Friday, how that was kind of an insane comparison. Or maybe we talked about it on Monday.
Yeah. And I basically said, hey, pump the brakes on that. Tavian, we see the traits, but he's raw. He played at Bell Fountain, which is Division III. He probably needs some time to develop. And it turned into, oh man, every time Dylan talks, he craps on Tavian St. Clair and Bell Fountain.
Is that
and
the rep you're getting now?
Yeah, I guess. I hate Tavian St. Clair just because I think it's weird that anyone wants Tavian over Julian saying this upcoming season.
Yes.
Does not mean that insane. I hate Tavian St. Clair. I never said that. I just said, hey, maybe he needs 2 years to develop before he gets the starting job. That's all.
No,
and maybe, I don't know, do people forget that in Justin Fields' last full season here, he threw for 40 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions? Like, sorry for thinking that Tavian St. Clair maybe is not going to do that.
Or be the greatest quarterback in the NFL. Well, just thinking like this year, he may not be there
yet. Yeah, he's not ready, is all I was saying. Maybe he's not ready. Oh, man.
You said they put this on Twitter?
They put it on Facebook.
Wow, they blasted you out there.
Yes.
You know what I'm about to do? I'm about to go comment under it and say, this guy hates us.
Oh, put us in there. When you say it, you put us in there? That's...
This guy.
You know there's going to be a bunch of dudes who have like Oakley sunglasses in their profile picture.
He's
just like, yes.
At the flagship for the Buckeyes and he hates us.
He hates us. Please do it.
You're going to love it, Dylan. It's going to be so much fun. All right, this Kyle Shanahan wreck thing, him getting in that car accident, continues to be weird. We'll give you the latest on it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Way up north by East Liberty, which is outside of Sunbury, we are still watching an incident for you. 71 southbound, a little bit slower. That left lane is still blocked right before you're hitting State Route 61. At least some better news. If you're heading out towards the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium right now, outside of Powell, we had a crash that finally cleared up in your area. State Route 257 south at East Cliff Road. That right shoulder is officially back open for you. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Buckeye football fall camp is coming. Will Julian Sayin take his game to the next level? Will Matt Patricia's defense dominate again? Join us live for training camp fun starting Thursday, August 6th. Your home of the Buckeyes. Woo! The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Real nice start to the day out there with a lot of sunshine. Just some passing clouds popping up for the afternoon. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 80s. For tomorrow, some high clouds gradually stream in from the west. We'll call it partly to mostly sunny. Just a touch warmer tomorrow, mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Call T-Bone and Tyvus's real hotline phone number. 614-460-8010. Available anytime, day or night. Nighttime can get spicy.
Are you serious? Oh my God!
Leave a message, and if it's great, we'll play it. And if it's terrible,
hello?
We'll likely play it too.
All right, so here's the thing. When you need to fix something in your house, it can be stressful trying to make that decision. You can go to all these different resources. Resource I'm going to tell you, too, when you need windows, the one place I would go, that is windownation.com. Now, the reason for that's very simple. They have over 1,500 windows designs that you can choose from for your windows for what works in your house. They have experts that will help you through that process to find exactly what you need. Their experts will come out once they've got your windows figured out. And once you've made that plan, they'll come out and get the job done in a day. So it's minimal disruption to you. Plus, right now with Window Nation, you can get 50% off all windows styles, plus zero down payment, no payments or interest for 2 years with Window Nation. So check them out today, windownation.com, to get your fast free consultation. Once again, that's windownation.com.
You know what I was doing 8 years ago today?
What were you doing, Tyvus?
8 years ago today, Dylan, do you know what I was doing?
You were eating a KFC double down sandwich.
Absolutely. Sounds great. No. Delicious.
No. I was getting ready. I was actually in camp, and I was reminded because I was going on Facebook to go hate on you. But before I got there. Before I got there.
It's the most boomer thing you've ever said. I was going on Facebook to hate on you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Before I got there, you know, they'd be like, this day in history, 8 years ago. And it was me at San Francisco's training camp. So I was like, man, that was when life was good, man. You know, you had to worry about getting cut every week. But outside of that, wow. You know, financially. Whew.
Dylan, do you hear that? Back when life was good.
Yes.
Back when life was good.
Ready to go.
That's right. Yeah. Back when every week was like.
Back when I had my passion. You know,
or won't I have a job? Will I or won't I have teammates who support me? Or will they try to rip my head off? No. Now. Where he gets to live a life of luxury. He hangs out with us for 3 hours, then goes home. He's got a beautiful family. He's got big car that he borrows from Cardale Jones whenever he feels like it. He's got a great life now.
I don't.
A celebrity in two cities, Columbus and in Cleveland, celebrity. Who are known in both. Celebrity.
Celebrity. I'm like, you know, I'm like the president in Cleveland. You just say my name and bang.
Bang. What happens?
Whatever you want.
You get shot.
So no?
Bang. Is that what happens? I don't know what happens.
Tyvus, you don't want to hear this, but even though you leave your MVP trophy from your national championship game up in Cleveland, you are probably more beloved in the city of Columbus than Cleveland, even though you're from there.
No,
Oh, you're here. You were with the Buckeyes.
Yes.
And obviously there's lots of Buckeye fans in Cleveland, but they weren't there for it. All of, you know, I mean, it happened here. We all here valued you. We remember you.
You know, maybe if the Browns wouldn't have cut you and they would have let you play a game with them.
Yeah.
That would be different.
But like when that time when you got to throw out the first pitch and they were like, please welcome guy who just got cut, Tyvis Powell. That's your claim to fame up there. Here.
I should have waited till after I threw out the first pitch.
That's right. That's what a classy organization would have done.
We all know how many times you got cut in Seattle.
Didn't the Seahawks release you twice?
But how many times did you get cut in your career?
The San Fran thing was funny because it was a thing where I got cut like every week. It was ridiculous.
You got cut every week?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I couldn't stand it.
Remember, Dylan, this was the good times.
Why do you
good
think times? No.
When he was in San Francisco, the good times. Every week I was cut and then rehired.
Hold on, let me explain.
Okay.
So this good is times. Why I told you, I know me and Adam Peters, I know him like on the first day basis because I see him literally every week. So what was happening was, I think this was the year I started that one game. So that was 18 maybe? I can't remember when it was. But anyways, that year Jimmy had got hurt.
Jimmy who?
Garoppolo.
Oh, okay. You know,
Jimmy was the starting quarterback. He got hurt that year. So CJ Beathard was the starter.
And get it right. CJ Beathard, please. Come on. That's his name. Let's say it wrong. CJ Beathard, our guy. Go ahead.
Deep throat DP.
Him too. Yeah. He's great, great player.
Anyways.
Big fan of the Nixon administration.
He ended up getting hurt as well. Yeah. So Nick Mullins became the starting quarterback, right?
The Mall Dog, yeah. So right.
What happened was they had to go out and sign another quarterback.
Oh, and so then they needed
these
extra bodies.
You know, you only get 53 people on the roster.
I've heard that.
So what happened was one week he would be up, the next week I wouldn't be. So they would have to cut you from active and bring you back on Monday to put you on practice squad.
You were
squad.
The cut man.
So him and I kept rotating. One of us got cut every week.
Again, it was the best of times for Tyvis
Powell. Hey, no, the good thing is this. They cut me on a Friday. So if they cut you on a Friday, your salary was guaranteed for the week. So that's why Tuesday, 4 p.m. deadline, Eastern Standard Time, if you make it and you look at your phone and it say that, your salary is at least guaranteed. So I'm getting $20,000 that week, no matter what. They could cut me all they want, but on Friday.
That's good.
I'm getting 20 bands. So that's why it was a good time. Now, they bring you back and they sign you on practice squad. All right, now that $20,000 go to $5,000. But it was the game that you played.
I love how every week they just, this was the Niners front office looking. Yeah. They're like, who do we have? Tyvis Powell.
Suck him. Suck him. Suck him.
And they're like, no, bring him back. He's good. And then I gotta figure out
who the quarterback was. Him and I rotated like every other week. One of us got cut and brought back on practice squad.
That's too bad. That's hey. You know what, though? I get it. You were in the moment. You were there wearing the Niners gear. You and Sherm were there hanging out.
Who is that?
Richard Sherman.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, sure. Call of Duty. The guy you play the duty with.
Never heard of him.
Okay, that's good.
You're talking about the guy that I carry all the time?
That guy? Yeah, that guy. Yep, exactly. So, speaking of the Niners, Kyle Shanahan got in this car accident back, what was it, July 11th, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then the information didn't come out till almost 2 weeks later that he had been in this car accident. And it was only released on the Saturday that they were going to, like the next day, I think they were going to do their introductory press conferences for training camp. So Kyle Shanahan would be there visibly injured and also apparently in concussion protocol and not able to do the job as head coach. So that's why they have Mr. Nose Candy as their assistant or their alternate head coach. I can't remember his name, but the dude who used to be the assistant. He was the assistant with the Dolphins that was doing blow right on the... Right on the table. Now he's the interim head coach for the Niners.
Was he messing
Niners.
With like a, was it a stripper or something?
I feel like there was something involved. I think that she's the one who posted the video. Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, fun organization.
He must pay his fine.
Apparently not. Either way. So Kyle Shanahan, this news comes out and there's been reporting about it because initially, remember, it was, yeah, but he wasn't at fault. He was just the victim of a car accident. It was this 21-year-old that was in the other car that was the victim.
Oh, they said that?
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that part.
The police report said that it was her. And so that was what was initially reported. Then he, to his immense credit, came out and said, I got to put my hand up. That's wrong. I was the one who was in the car that I was at fault. I went across the center line or whatever happened. He was in a head-on collision. Violent enough that it had 40 stitches across his head because I guess the visor hit him in the face.
He got a concussion. He had
broken ribs
or something like that.
Some other broken bones too. But anyway, so he said, no. The police report got that wrong. Then the police came out and said, it was a clerical error. The multi-million dollar head coach that may have been at fault, we oopsied and we blamed it on a 21-year-old. So
he was frustrated with Brandon Ayuk not being there.
So what I found interesting was, one, he was enabled to come clean if he wanted to on who was actually at fault in the accident. That's not usually something that happens. No reporters really dug in on this. No one really got to the bottom of it. Chris Sims was talking about this, and he brought up specifically Adam Schefter's role in this, because Adam Schefter didn't report anything on this until the Niners put out a statement saying this was happening. Schefter had an article up on ESPN like 2 minutes later, so he clearly knew about it, but didn't report it any sooner. Here's what Chris Sims had to say about that.
I still see people, getting mad at Adam Schefter a little bit too, and I go, hey, again, Adam Schefter might not be his best friend, but Adam Schefter is a really good friend to Kyle Shanahan. I know it is, but what we talked about, he's known Kyle since he was a teenager, right? So he called Adam Schefter as a friend to go, hey, I got an accident. I'm messed up. I don't want you to hear from other people. You've known me forever, and I'm letting you know as my buddy, right? And it wasn't a media type thing there.
Okay, so in that case, then, Adam Schefter...
Everybody just doing the Diana Rossini.
I was absolutely right.
That was going on.
It's no better. Everybody ripped Diana Rossini, and she can't ever work again because she has personal relationships with a coach, and it's inappropriate. And I agree, that is wildly inappropriate and should not be happening. Vrabel should also be punished for that, but that's a whole other thing.
What happens with you media members.
Dude.
Y'all do stuff like this.
I don't know how you can't look at the same thing here.
I can't stand y'all.
Don't get me started. You're in the media, too. All I know is Diana Rossini, rightfully so, has been ripped to shreds over her relationship with Mike Vrabel. But guys like Adam, and this is what we said at the time, there are guys in this business who have personal relationships, not physical, intimate relationships, but close enough relationships that it calls into question their ability to report accurately. And Adam Schefter, if what Chris Sims is saying is true, then Adam Schefter is clearly just as compromised as her. The whole problem with Diana Rossini, once you get past the, there was an affair, it looks like something inappropriate happened there. The bigger issue and why she doesn't have a job, there's lots of people who cheat on their spouses who work in the NFL, in the media. The reason she doesn't have a job is because you can't trust her reporting. How can you trust Adam Schefter's reporting if that's what he does?
You know what? You should get on Rothman and Ice. What day they had time?
I'll go tell him to his face.
You should get on there and be like, special guest, we got T-Bone in from T-Bone and Tyvus. Schefty, he's got a question for you, and you should ask him.
Yeah, see what he says.
And see that's what his answer is.
I'm actually going to call in. I'll get in the YouTube chat and I'll use my famous YouTube handle.
Deep Throat DP.
Thank you. The SEC defenders in the media are out in force. Not all of them have their facts straight, though. You'll hear from one of them next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Way up north by East Liberty, which is outside of Sunbury, we are still watching an incident for you. 71 southbound, a little bit slower. That left lane is still blocked right before you're hitting State Route 61. At least some better news. If you're heading out towards the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium right now, outside of Powell, we had a crash that finally cleared up in your area. State Route 257 south at East Cliff Road. That right shoulder is officially back open for you. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.com.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tweet the program at Bone and Tyvus 971. And of course, if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always find it wherever you get podcasts. Just search T-Bone and Tyvus.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
The podcast is there for you. Hold on. Podcast is there for you. Brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. We appreciate them supporting our podcast.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Chris Loomis says that I hate the Hawkeyes. Where did he get that from? First of all, I'll have you know, one of my closest NFL buddies is a Hawkeye.
Who's that?
Greg Maben, who I just talked to yesterday, actually. So I love the Hawkeyes. I got no issue with the Hawkeyes. Plus, I never lost to them. So therefore, there's no beef there. Any team that I've never lost to, there's impossible for me to beef with them.
And then you told us yesterday that you locked up George Kittle on the regular.
Oh, yeah. That
Iowa
was, yeah,
Hawkeye.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
I used to tell them like that. I'm not dude from whoever we about to play. I know I'm wearing the scout team jersey, but that's, come on now. Come on. Don't do that.
I like it. That's good.
I'm telling y'all, when it was a tight end, bro, it was a different type. I'm not about to let you do me like that. No. I checked receivers. There's no way I'm about to let the tight end get off on me. It just wasn't about to happen.
By the way, shout out to the chat, too. They are absolutely filleting Adam Schefter in the comments, and I don't blame him at all. Schefty's getting ripped for this. The way he handled this.
He's not going to address it. I'm going to tell you that.
No, I know. He doesn't. Yeah, I know. But I just think it's, I mean, he's up on ESPN. He's on Get Up talking right now.
You think he care about what you're saying?
Exchange between Dexter Lawrence and Joe Burrow.
He looked like right after this, he going to get off, count his money, and eat chicken wings.
Do you think Adam Schefter gets the sweet and spicy wings from Popeyes?
If he don't, he's not living life to the fullest.
That's loser talk.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Oh, by the way, we got another voicemail that just further confirms that Tyvus knows ball when it comes to the fast food.
Really?
Oh, they hate somebody else with it.
It's here.
Hello, this is Joe Mitzker from Columbus, Ohio. As far as one of the all-time great fast food items, I'd have to go with the Double Down from KFC. If you haven't already said it, read about it. If you haven't had it, it was amazing. Hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. That's multiple different food items from multiple different people who have confirmed that you know ball when it comes to fast food, which is why I say you are. I think we're going to start calling you the 446 foodie, because you are the fast foodie. You like stuff that is, you know, the stuff through a drive-through window.
Joe, shout out to Joe, man. Listen, I'm not a foodie, not by any means, but like I can recognize a good product.
Yeah,
I'm also an advocate of what was the KFC Double Down sandwich, and people were like, well, why isn't it still a thing? Because people were dropping dead of heart attacks as soon as they finished in the restaurant. That's why.
Did you know McDonald's, you know, the fried apple pie they brought back this summer, and that's what they have now at McDonald's, which is I prefer, and I'm glad they brought it back. But the reason they got rid of it in the first place was because in the early 90s, people heard fried and they were like, I'm out. Can't do fried. Fried is bad. Fried is evil. I just think that's hilarious. That's also about the time when KFC decided, we're no longer called Kentucky Fried Chicken. We're just going to go with KFC, because fried was like a dirty word in the fast food industry. Now, I feel like we have completely abandoned that and we're back on fried everything. Yes. Everything's fried. We don't care.
I'm more grilled.
Yeah. Tyvus, no, you're not.
No, you stop. You advocated for chicken wings and the Double Down sandwich, both of which are deep fried.
Go through your list of best fast food items again and tell me how many of them are grilled.
All of them are fried. Right quick.
Your Bacon King is
Bacon
King.
That's it. That's one. I got one.
I mean, people do say, let's fry up some bacon, because you are crisping up bacon in its own oils.
The bacon is grilled. It's bacon.
Stop it.
You think they're going
to grill bacon?
I just did it yesterday.
Who grills bacon?
So my wife made
burgers.
Did
you put it on a pan and then put that on the grill?
My wife made burgers and she just grilled the bacon with the
burger. On the slats?
Yeah, on the Blackstone.
That's not grilling. Yes. That's frying it in its own oil. Okay. Whatever. I'm not arguing culinary.
Wait, a Blackstone ain't a grill?
It is, but
all
it's
right, that's
but
grilling
you put
it
oil
in.
Down. It's fried.
Grilling it.
I have grilled bacon before. It's dangerous. Don't try it at home.
Yeah, I was going to say, you light your house
you
on
gotta
fire.
You got to put it in the aluminum foil and very much pay attention to it. Worth it.
Crazy. But what does it do?
Not worth the risk.
It cooks in its own oil, so it is, in its sense, it's frying
itself. I put it on the grill. That's grilling it.
Okay, fine. Laura Rutledge, she is from ESPN. She does NFL coverage. She does some SEC Network stuff. She was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, and she was talking about she's a Florida grad, apparently. She's a big SEC gal, and she said, this is all this talk about the Big Ten, the SEC,
She wanted to defend the SEC and how tough it is to play in that conference.
I think one of the reasons why the SEC maybe has not advanced as far in the playoff as some SEC fans would like to see is because the competition within the league is so difficult that nine games of craziness week in and week out, a little different than other parts, other conferences. I'm not dissing on the Big
Ten. They have to cannibalize each other.
Right. Yeah, and so by the time they get to the end, there's not many left. For one, they eliminate each other. But furthermore, they're gassed. They're injured. They have issues. I'm not making excuses. I'm just pointing out facts because you were pointing out facts. And then...
now we're all gassed. I mean, in North, you can't get gassed.
Okay, but the other thing I would like to point out is look at the NFL draft and how many players come out of the SEC. Sure.
Okay. That part right there made me laugh.
Well...
That part right there, because as soon as I seen that clip, guess what I immediately did?
What'd you do?
I went right to the 2026 NFL draft, and I wanted just to see.
You know,
I wanted to count up where I was, where how many people came from what conference. You know, Big Ten had led with first round picks with 10.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah, it's SEC, all that was the math I did, too.
Seven
is correct. Okay. That's also, yeah.
The first couple of picks from where?
I believe that was from Ohio State. That was from Ohio State.
Indiana, number one pick.
Yeah, I believe that was right.
Big Ten?
Yeah, Big Ten. Okay. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Hey. Hey. What do you know? No. But this is their whole argument. Because if you go look at the numbers, in the Big Ten total, they had 68 players drafted in 2026. SEC had 87. But if you go through the rest of the draft, I'm sure, you'd see more SEC players.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their entire argument. It's like, all right, you might have the top two or three or five best teams, but when you come down to SEC, that Kentucky is better than Purdue. What are you going to say about that? And I say that's what I say.
I laugh at this.
That's what you want. You want to be the rounds five, six, and seven. There's where the SEC players live. There you go.
The argument was that by the time they get to the end of the season, you know, their players is all hurt. Was a lot of people missing from?
Well, she's also wrong when she said they had a 9-game schedule. It's like that didn't start till this year. So all these years you've been losing. It's been they played one less conference game than all the other conferences.
I was trying to figure out who was hurt in the CFP.
That's also a great question.
Also, her saying teams knock each other out like that doesn't happen in the Big Ten. Like USC, they could have made the playoff if they didn't lose to Oregon late.
They all these
USC beat Iowa late in the season, like they're knocking each other out of the playoffs too.
Who is the injuries that she talking about? That's the part that I. Who?
They're just hurt, Tyvus.
Who?
They're just hurt.
Who? Who in the? I want to say
who was hurt.
Why am I blanking on this? Like big in the 12 team playoff, you had Ohio State, you had Indiana, you had Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody else?
That's
from all the Big Ten.
Okay, you had three.
That's it.
The SEC had five teams in.
Yeah.
So even if they did knock each other out and all this attrition happened in the SEC season.
Who got hurt?
They got five teams into the playoffs. And what are you talking about?
Nick Saban said something about it the other day. They're like, they matched up against each other. Well, Indiana played Oregon.
Yeah.
Bama played Oklahoma. And then again, you had Georgia and Ole Miss. So...
Well, what does he want? We have to put all of them, all the SEC teams.
Well,
if
you stop putting all of them in there.
No. You can't have it both ways.
Right. Like if you put five of them in, they're going to run into each other. I don't know how you work this math out in the SEC.
Reseed it every round and make it so that they don't play each other.
All I know is that when the Big Ten played the SEC, 38-3.
Belt ass. Mm,
that's what happened. By the way, one last thing. I want to play this clip again. Listen to Pat McAfee.
I think one of the reasons why the SEC maybe has not advanced as far in the playoff as some SEC fans would like to see is because the competition within the league is so difficult that nine games of craziness week in and week out, a little different than other parts, other conferences. I'm not dissing on the Big Ten.
Yeah, they cannibalize each other.
Right.
Yeah, they cannibalize. When did he turn into Columbo? Peter Falk is here.
I got a little Adam Sandler there.
Oh, hey. Just a couple. Listen. Laura, before you go, just a couple more questions for you. I just wanted to know, where were you on the night of December 25th? What were you doing? This is your $60 million man, ESPN? Like, I'm coming. He's got a little Berman, too.
What an idiot.
Anyway, good for him. I'm glad he's getting paid all the money in the world. Who are we talking to next? Reese? I think we're talking to Reese
Thursday, so it should be Reese.
Buzzer time when we get back. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still looking at a couple of crashes on 71 southbound near the downtown area. First up, just north of downtown, really over by South Linden. We are seeing another crash in this area. 71 southbound, just passing Hudson Street. That left lane is closed up ahead. Noticing some slower drive times over by LaFaire 2. 315 and 23 are great alternate routes for you out there. Also, a new crash into our system. This one closer to downtown. It's going to be 71 southbound at Main Street. That right shoulder is currently blocked. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tyvis Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvis.
Joining the program, a guy who is who has just informed us that he is a 76ers hater.
Rooting against him.
This season.
All season.
Air Reeser.
Wow.
Why?
Why the hatred? So it's one thing if LeBron picks Cleveland. Shams can come out 5 days later and report, well, he only granted one team an interview in this whole process, and that was the Cavaliers. Then it's slightly endearing, like, oh, he loves Cleveland because he picked the 76ers. Now you kind of make it sound like he made the Cavs brash schlep out to, what, Bath or Green or wherever LeBron's castle is and, you know, try to beg at the feet of the king. And then to give them a no thanks, and then for Shams to go on Reeser. Rich Paul's podcast and say it, and then yesterday phrase it like, well, somebody told me this. Yeah, Rich Paul told you.
Yeah, see, now.
Now it's patronizing.
Eric, he's 40.
Now I'm annoyed.
He's going to be 42.
Okay.
Who cares?
You know how good he was last season?
Who cares?
Every team in the NBA should care.
He's 42.
Especially that he's in the Eastern Conference competing directly against the Cavs. This went from Cleveland getting swept in the Eastern Conference Finals to Cleveland getting swept in the first round.
You didn't hear?
By the Sixers.
Did you not hear that every team that made the Conference Finals shows that the next year they go to the Finals?
I hate that.
Well, that's going to end.
That's right. That stat is, it keeps getting brought up, and you know what I think it is. You know what I think that is. That's all that is to me. That's just cope from Cavs fans. Or not Cavs fans, Cavs media and Cavs brass, I think, filtering that out. But,
well, you're trying to paint a turd gold.
Yeah.
Wine and gold.
You're not.
there's no other good news to report for Cleveland. They got Mario Hezonja,
who hasn't
like
played.
5 years ago said he didn't even, like the NBA didn't deserve him.
Yeah, and then he went over and played in Spain.
The Euro League.
Great.
That's
good for him. Yeah, that's your big addition.
So I get it if they're trying to say, well, you know, the last 5 years, the conference finals of the conference finalist, the conference runner up has made it to the NBA finals the next season. Like, that's cool if that continues. But talk to me in October when they've done what? The Mario player, they've done a Harden 2-year deal and lost Dean Wade.
Well, I mean, if they would have just, I don't know, last year at the deadline, traded for a guy by the name of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, well, he's never letting this go.
Who knows?
I don't blame you, by the way.
Ifs and buts, buddy.
Who knows?
And now the Cavs look like an ass.
No, of course they do. This is,
and also Shams. How much? He's carrying, like his thighs must be thick.
What is that?
For how he's carrying the water for LeBron and company. Like, I get the access is part of the job, and so you need to maintain that relationship with Clutch Sports, who is gobbling up every available free agent in every other sport. Like, they're becoming a serious player in the athlete space, not just LeBron James. That if you want to have the access to the breaking news, if you're Shams Charania, you have to get in bed with them. That's how this, and I understand that's how this works. But I heard you talking about Schefter and Shanahan and that economy. It's the same thing in the NBA.
You're right. It is. It's all of this.
There is no integrity.
Well, it's the access, Tyvis. It's the access economy that
we live
in. Are
you paid in integrity? Like, what does integrity get you? Like, can you pay rent with that? Can you buy a house with that?
It gets you.
That's sad, but that's where we're at in sports.
Peace of mind.
Can you buy a house with that?
Yes.
Yeah, because your mind's clear.
I don't think
you can find. You can think of other ways to make money.
With access, you can build an empire, and you can buy houses, and you can have generational wealth.
They say you can't put a price on a peace of mind.
Okay, who's they?
That's what people tell me.
It just sucks,
who are these
though?
People?
Actually, I heard it from Dr. Dre on the end of Straight Outta Compton, at the end of the movie.
multi-millionaire Dr. Dre told you this.
Well, billionaire.
Billionaire, even better. Okay. So I wonder, like, Reese.
Now, annoyed with the Sixers and the whole thing.
I can understand. Stupid and as a Cavs fan, I can understand why you'd be frustrated by all that, too, to get kind of, hey, come on out and let's have this meeting, and then it didn't.
Oh, he granted Cleveland a meeting. Oh, he talked to him about wine for 30 minutes. Well, my guess is he told them about the wine they were drinking for 30 minutes. And Dan probably. Gilbert's like, cousin was like, I don't care about any of this, LeBron.
You know someone on the Gilbert
You know
payroll,
what
yeah.
you should do? Because you're so frustrated, you should go get some sweet and spicy wings from Popeyes. They'll make you feel better.
I would, but I have a thing today, so I'm just not going to have time.
I wonder if they came to his house on a Tuesday, because you know what they have on Tuesdays at the LeBron household.
Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, he invented that. Right. I remember that. He invented the Tuesday holiday for tacos.
Sure. Yeah. Sure he did. So what do you guys have coming up on the show today?
We're not doing any of that for the next 3 hours.
There you go.
Really no more LeBron talk, probably until October when the NBA season begins. We'll wrap up Big Ten Media Days. You'll have Matt Rhule, Kurt Cignetti, you're going to bookend Kyle Whittingham in nearly his first national availability as the new Michigan man. Paul Feinbaum's going to join the show at 10:30. We're going to do Ole Miss as our interesting program today in the 20 most interesting. Got one more week left of this. So the Running Rebels, it's been a busy week for them. They've got a lawsuit against two of their former players. Pete Golding, I don't know what you want to, like, what expectations should be with him, but we'll have Stephen Willis of Locked On Ole Miss talking all things Rebels at 11:30. We'll open the mailbag at 10 a.m.
Don't LSU come to them this year?
I think so. I don't have their schedule.
I hope that'll so.
It's a lot of that racism is, there. It's hard to recruit black people at Ole Miss.
That's according to Lane Kiffin. Now, what we'll be very curious to see is how that fan base at Ole Miss, if that is the case, how they react to Lane's first game back. Whew. That'll be must-see TV for sure. Bishop and Friends coming up 9 to noon right here on The Fan. Thank you, Reed.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Feeling the heat?
Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
You know what? Today on the buzzer, we're going to give a shout out. I just looked up on CBS. They were talking about this on CBS Morning News. I think it's good to talk about here. The first games, history being made, the first games of the Women's Pro Baseball League inaugural season are going to take place this weekend at a place called Robin Roberts Stadium. So Springfield, Illinois is where they're hosting all of these teams, even though the teams have names like the New York Heights, the Los Angeles Queens. Mm-hmm. Those two teams will square off Saturday at 5 p.m. Sunday, the San Francisco Firebells will go head-to-head against the Boston Hunters at 6:30 p.m. But you can go womensprobaseball.com if you want to find out more about the league. This is actually like overhand pitch baseball, like not softball.
Oh.
So a little bit like a league of their own. They said 71 years after the league that was featured in a league of their own, the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, folded, they will now have this league. So very cool. I'm excited to see that. I think it's, I've always wondered why they're,
you always wondered about why they don't do overhand pitching.
Why don't we see more women playing just like baseball? Even though softball's a great sport on its own.
Are they using wooden bats?
I don't know. We'll have to, you know what? Tune in to find out. Yeah. But yeah, they're going to be playing this weekend. So congrats on the history. I think that's pretty cool. Bishop and Friends coming up next. We will see you tomorrow. Steve-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
We got a couple things that we're noticing on the east side right now. Just outside of Gahanna, there are repairs happening. 270, that southbound collector right at Easton, that left shoulder is blocked for you up there. Also seeing some delays forming 270 in that northbound direction over at Hamilton Road. So a heads up there right before you're hitting 270 and 670. Also noticing some slowdowns just in this area, 70 and 270. Once again, over towards that east side. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have a